The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Large black coffee.
Do you mean a venti?
No, I mean a large.
Venti is large.
No, venti is 20. Large is large. In fact, tall is large, and grande is Spanish for large. Venti's the only one that doesn't mean large. It's also the only one that's Italian. Congratulations, you're stupid in three languages.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Then why do you bow for that guy?
Because he's the king, and he rules the entire realm.
Oh, my bad. Is that what he is, or isn't whacking it to The Sims?
Paul Perillo.
You know what I used to eat for breakfast? Cocaine. You know what I used to eat for lunch? Cocaine.
What'd you have for dinner? Was it cocaine?
And Andy. And Andy?
The sun is shining, but you have lost the ability to take any joy in life.
Andy Hart.
You're just a miserable dick now. You're mean to everybody.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
I call myself the Booby Watcher. Even got my own comic book. Adventures of the Booby Watcher.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
It's just fantasy world where anything is possible.
Sounds gay.
If by gay you mean the old English definition of fun, enjoyable, and carefree, then yes, it's extremely gay.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
What movie was that?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Role Models?
Role Models. Never saw it. Never saw it. Anyway, good opening. Not bad, even though I didn't see the movie. Welcome to the show. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Paul's here. Eric's here. Fred's here. Kevin's here. Big Head will be here later. He had a doctor's appointment?
Yeah.
Yeah, he...
Finally got to check out that thing on his neck?
No, he injured himself in the push-up contest
last week. Speaking of that, we had a lot of emails. We'll get to those later. A lot of buzz about the push-up contest. And I just want to just say... For the record, he cheated, okay? First of all, there's no way he could have done that many push-ups in that short a time without doing them halfway. Second of all, I've now proven that I can beat him in basketball, tennis, and feats of strength. So he ought to be ashamed.
Those are three sports, definitely.
He ought to be ashamed of himself for having to cheat to win.
He wasn't cheating, though, Fred. I was keeping an eye on him the whole time.
Eric, you didn't see him how far he was going down. I did. You were above him. He was not. There's no way, possibly... You can do 60 push-ups in that amount of time. You can't do it without, you know, boom, 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 boom.
He was going rapid fire.
He really wasn't going all the way down.
It looked like he was from my vantage point.
Oh, he was going down.
Yeah. Oh.
He went down, and he lost to a guy 20 years.
Down goes Andy.
His senior.
Yes.
Are you really 20 years? You're not 20 years older than him.
Well, how old is he?
He's 31, 32.
Okay, so 33. 20... 18.
In the neighborhood.
Close enough.
He'll be 33 next
Nearly
month.
Two decades. Nearly yeah. 2 decades.
14.
We'll go with 2 decades.
10.
No.
No, but I'm considerably older. And,
yes.
You look
about 30 years older than
him. He should be ashamed of himself. Oh.
Well.
I was only watching Fred, and I'm here to report two things. Number one, Fred was doing extremely legitimate push-ups. He was going all the way down. Mm-hmm. Jack LaLanne, as I said, would have been proud. He was doing as much of a picture form perfect push-up, which
and you were
know,
going.
You do have the perfect push-ups.
Right. You were going.
So you, if
slowly,
anyone,
right? You were concentrating on the form, right?
Form, all about form.
He was going on repetitions.
I also have a wife who's a Pilates instructor, so she knows.
Proper technique.
And Fred was using proper technique. That I will grant him. I did not get to watch Andy because he was on the other side of the radio desk, and Fred was on the ground, so he could see under the desk. That's why he was doing
proper technique, but like Fred said,
he was going rapid fire. He could have been locking out.
It's tough, though, because his arms are barrel-sized. So what... For him, extending could look like it's only going halfway,
right.
So it's difficult.
To me, he looked like those kids like in gym class that, you know, they're forced to do push-ups and they just refuse to go down all the way.
I was giving him the benefit of the doubt because I've seen a lot of You know, like when you see like boot camp or military exercises, when they make a mistake and they say drop and give me 20.
Right.
They're doing them rapid fire, well, and the instructor lets them get away with
right,
doing it.
It's more
it that
about
way.
Humiliation and discipline.
So
it
it looked legitimate enough to me right. that way. So I was giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Now the second thing I want to report, Fred,
yes,
is that I have gotten a lot of attention. A lot of people are wondering because. Your head was still red by the time we left the office
I was
on
yet
Thursday.
From yelling with more, so more than doing the push-ups.
I made sure that I tweeted that out for everybody, and people were interested. They wanted to know. And I'm here to report that on Friday, when we came into work, Fred's head was no longer red.
Yeah.
So it was a temporary eight, ten-hour thing.
It was more from yelling than the push-ups, let me tell you. Anyway, he should be ashamed of himself.
This warrants a rematch. Where you do the pyramid style push-ups, where you do one, he does one. You do two, he does two. And you increase until the last person stands.
I don't need to prove myself to him anymore. I've beaten him in everything we've ever done against each other.
But now if you do it that way,
it doesn't matter if he's locking out or whatever.
Right. It's whoever does it
the longest. He's forced to do it exactly the same way, and he's forced to go as long as you can go.
It's pointless to me at this point because I've proven, again, all sports.
Yeah, but it's for the good of the show,
and
though.
Feats of strength.
For the good of the show.
All sports and feats of strength.
All sports. Two sports, really.
All right.
Horse was one of them.
So, webradiopatriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the East Ticket Hotline. Patriots news since Thursday. Bad news. Woodhead got knocked out yesterday by Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
He closed the gap
a fight,
a little
though.
Bit.
He put up a fight.
Yep.
It was close. I ended up being wrong, but it was close.
Yep. It's too bad, and so I guess it's down to Rodgers, Vic.
Rodgers is going to win it.
Adrian Peterson and Peyton Hillis.
Nah.
So
Rodgers will win it.
I think so. I think he will.
He should.
He should.
Yeah.
You know. So
he's the reigning Super
it's
Bowl
It's anticlimactic,
MVP.
Though, now.
Yeah.
Because before, at least there was some, you know, especially for someone like me who couldn't care less about video games, that was a reason to be interested in the whole thing.
That's how it worked. It was a good marketing ploy.
It was a good marketing ploy.
It hooked you.
I'm not going to play.
No, but it hooked someone who otherwise was not interested
exactly.
at all.
Exactly.
And it got you interested.
Some exclusive content coming up on Patriots.com later today, other than this show. Paul, are you going to be the one sitting down? Who's going to sit down with him?
For who?
With Scott O'Brien.
Oh, I don't know. I was assuming Eric. But
I brought my recorder, so it'll probably end up being.
So later on, we've been granted some time with Scott O'Brien, the Patriots special teams coach. So Eric and Brian Lowe, I assume, from Patriots Today will be with him. We'll put him through the Patriots car wash.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll have some exclusive content up there later on today on Patriots.com because right now there's not a lot going on. So the team, I think, is going to start making an effort to get us some, you know, people that we can talk to because we're not allowed to talk to players at this point, which is very annoying.
Yeah,
very annoying. So we'll take what we can get. So that'll be up a little later.
And
it'll
some
be
of
interesting.
The...
We'll talk about the draft coming up and what he looks for in players, if what kind of input he has on the process.
Yeah, and we'll also speak with Nick Caserio on Thursday, I believe, we'll have his pre-draft press conference.
Well, that'll be live.
It won't
on
be.
Patriots.com.
Yeah. Well, that's what you were talking about. Things that will be on Patriots.com.
Mm-hmm.
Things to look forward to in the coming days. So that will be on.
That'll be
Thursday.
Interrupting the show, though.
Yeah, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, he's going to come on about 1 o'clock in the hall, and we'll go to that live during the show. See what's going on up there, and cover it. So you'll be able to just tune into the show and get all of it right here. And then what else have we got? As far as the labor agreements, the latest is that Judge Judy Nelson has...
Susan
Nelson.
Judge Judy.
she is now forcing both sides to go into federal mediation.
Oversight by her court, by a magistrate
right.
of the court.
Forced mediation is going to take place in Minnesota,
right?
Not Washington, D.C., as the league wanted.
While she still considers
right.
the injunction request.
So
correct.
I mean, I don't want to be pessimistic about that, but, you know, as everyone who's been writing about this made clear, she can force them to sit down, but she can't force them to agree to anything.
No. Right.
And, you know, until all these other things are resolved,
right.
including one that doesn't get a lot of attention, the National
NLRB.
Labor
right.
Relations Board ruling mm-hmm. on whether or not the whole decertification was a sham.
Yes.
I think both sides want to play out those things before they have to agree
right.
to anything.
I think you're right.
You would like to think that they come and they
There'll
say,
be
you
a
know
breakthrough
what?
And
forget yeah. about all that. Let's just keep going. But I don't know.
I get the same sense as you, Fred. I think that they're saying, okay, fine. They're making us talk. We'll do the mediation thing, but we're not going to agree to anything. They're not saying that to each other,
right.
obviously. But
right.
I think you're right. That's the same sense that I get. They're just going to wait until there's really a breaking point that forces them to do one thing or the other. And that could either be the NLRB or the ruling that Judge Nelson comes up with.
Right. So we'll see. So there's really nothing new there. Certainly nothing that's going to change the pattern of what's going on.
And she has issued a gag order on the mediation. So, and if anybody leaks anything, that could be used against either side. We'll see
at this point, both
well
sides
would
be tired of talking about it. Let's just,
You would think, but
we'll see.
Do you think the national media will now scurry to Minnesota?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I think Breer's already there. In fact, he's been tweeting Albert Breer from.
Well, they were there last Wednesday, right?
Yeah, he's there now. Yeah,
yeah, no, but for the
mediation?
Yeah, I'm talking about for the mediation.
On Thursday? Yeah, I would think so, yeah. Even though there's a gag order, they'll probably,
They'll tell us what they had for lunch and,
Got to get video of them walking in and out of the building for the TV people,
Riveting stuff.
What else? Not a hell of a lot else going on.
Tonight is something Patriots fans need to look forward to.
Yes, go ahead.
On ESPN, the Year of the Quarterback series. I don't know if has it started or is this the first?
It's been ongoing series.
Right? But tonight's the one that Patriots fans are interested in because it's the Brady 6 documentary about when Brady was drafted in 2000 and all the quarterbacks that were taken before him and the emotional story that he tells about that whole draft weekend with his family, and he breaks down. I saw the clip of that this morning on SportsCenter, and it was a little awkward. It was a little awkward to see him in that condition.
It is a little strange. But clearly that's something that has really driven him over the years and probably a big part of what makes him great.
Yep. And you wonder if, let's say he had been taken where he was expected to go, third, second round, whatever, would he have been as motivated to be the player he is if he didn't have that chip to refer to?
Well, see, what you're saying, if you look at it logically, if he had been taken second round, that means other things would have happened in Michigan that would have made him a higher pick. In other words, he wouldn't have been behind Greasy and all that stuff. He probably would have done more at Michigan to make people pick him higher in the draft. So it's like,
But he says in the documentary, he says he was told by, how they always have sources that tell them things before the draft, that he was going to go second as late as the third round.
Yeah.
So if he had been taken.
Based on what he did in college.
Based on what he did in college, not what he could have done.
Yeah.
So if he had gone in the second round, to even if it's this team or some other team, would he have been as great as he has become?
But I kind of like your hypothetical even more, Freddie, because if you look at. How much could things have changed? I mean, you mentioned Greasy. Now, the guy he split time with as a senior was Drew Henson.
Yeah,
right.
But evidently, and if he was neck and neck with Greasy the year they won the national championship. And Greasy played the whole season and won the job. Mm. He was the starter. And Brady barely played. It was mop-up role.
Right.
And by all accounts, that was extremely close. Now, what if Brady was the guy and they went undefeated and won the national championship? Mm. You're talking about he could have been the first overall pick of the draft.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah.
Conceivably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you wonder how much Greasy got because of his lineage,
Sure.
Absolutely
and all that
did.
Stuff,
I have no doubt that he did.
So
I think that's a big part of it. And he was just, Greasy wasn't a stiff, but he was just an average. I think he was a lot like Chad Henne at Michigan, Greasy. I thought he was one of those guys that. He did all right. He made some plays. He made some mistakes, and they had a great team around. They had a better team than Henne ever had in Michigan. And it was funny. He probably did get a benefit of the doubt because of who he was.
And Lloyd Carr said that, if it's a tie, the benefit will always go to the upperclassmen. And I was thinking of playing that to my kid, who's a sophomore in the varsity lacrosse. He's battling it out with these juniors and seniors. And I told him, I said, when you're out there, you got to make things happen. You can't just be even with them. You have to beat them out because they're older and they're going to get to play more.
You know what's funny about that is I think a lot of coaches, I think you could ask a lot of coaches that philosophy and you get a 50-50 split.
Really?
If I had a sophomore and a senior and they were basically even,
you might want to develop the younger player.
Wouldn't I want the sophomore playing?
I think in a high-powered program, a lot of coaches do that because they want to keep that program as strong for as long mm-hmm. as they can. So it
give them the experience. That's a valid point.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a valid point.
And I'll bet you that, I mean, there's arguments to be made both ways.
Sure.
But I'll bet you there's a 50-50 split on something like that. Now, maybe a quarterback, you know, in defense of Lloyd Carr, maybe a quarterback, I want the experience. Yeah, they're even. But when the rubber meets the road, the senior is probably going to be more poised under pressure, and he's been there, he's been through it. Maybe I lean to him. Whereas I don't know exactly. You know, in practice, they're even. I don't know in a game what's going to happen with the sophomore.
And I'm not willing to take the chance.
And let's face it, it's a lot of money at stake for these guys and their careers and whatnot. They have to win, so there's a lot of pressure.
Yep.
You know, in Lloyd Carr's defense, even though obviously he made the wrong call because only one of their guys, you know, he had Henson, he had Greasy, and he had Brady, and only one of those guys turned out to be anything.
Right.
And even had Scott Drysback before Greasy.
Oh, yeah.
All these guys played over Brady and... You know,
yeah, Brady came in as a freshman.
He only went and did anything in the
that
NFL.
He was
fifth string at Michigan when he came in
as
a freshman?
Yeah, he said there were like five.
Something like that.
But that's fairly common for
a freshman. Of course. Yeah, yeah.
Any freshman.
No, of course. But, I mean, he chose Michigan knowing that he would be that far down instead of choosing a college where he thought he could play
pretty quickly at Cal.
Yeah.
But he wanted to go to
Michigan. He wanted to go somewhere else.
Yeah, it must be tough for any of these guys because they all come out of high school being, you know, the cat's meow.
Right.
And, you know, it's tough. You have to have that mental, you know, toughness.
Well, clearly what Brady always had, even before he had ever done anything, is a tremendous amount of self-confidence. You know, for him to make the comment to Robert Kraft that he did, in this documentary they talk about him making a comment to one of his college teammates.
Yeah, one of his backups at the time.
That he was going to beat out Bledsoe in 01.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, that takes a lot of confidence. That takes a lot of
self-confidence. What do you think takes more confidence, saying that to Robert Kraft or dating Gisele Bündchen?
I think it's similar. I mean, just look at the circles.
I'm kidding, but I'm not.
I know,
you know?
I know you're not.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I mean, I think it's the circles that he walks in.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, to go to congressional events, to go visit the circles that he's walked in, it takes a certain amount of presence.
Sure.
For lack of a better term.
Yep, yep. So that'll be on at 8 o'clock tonight.
8 o'clock Eastern
on ESPN.
On ESPN,
I believe it's
an
8
hour
o'clock,
long.
Yeah,
is it ESPN or ESPN?
ESPN, because I already
I
have
think
it on
it's
DVR.
Regular ESPN.
Okay,
yep. ESPN,
mm-hmm.
the magazine.
Good. What else, Patriot wise? We have a lot of emails, and I promise to get to them. But I just want to make sure we're covering all the bases here. I know the Red Sox got killed. Daisuke just got slammed.
You know, they're 2-8, right? And they lost to a 2-8 team now, a team that became 2-8. And the front page of the Globe, Sox fall to lowly Rays.
Yeah.
Like, you know, did the Tampa Bay paper say Rays break out against lowly Sox?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
I mean, I just...
Yeah, but...
Listen, they're playing terrible
Daisuke
baseball.
Was just...
It's 10 games. I know they have, you know,
152 left.
But... They played 10 awful games.
It takes one to know one, but have you seen the gut on Wakefield?
He did look
Oh, my God.
He did look pudgy.
I mean, he's always been a little, but he really put on the pounds.
I didn't see him.
He's 110 years old, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's looking like an old knuckleballer now, you know?
He did have a belly.
Yeah.
You're right.
So that's the Red Sox.
Celtics aren't playing that great either.
No, but
at least they sat everybody out last night.
They did, but before last night, they hadn't been playing great. Mm-hmm.
I'm not excited.
Yeah, I think
the Bruins might do better than the Celtics in the playoffs this year.
I would assume they would, yeah.
But they got the Canadiens in the first round, that's always a tough match.
A couple of interesting things. You know, we talked about how we can't speak to players.
Right.
The other papers can. Interesting piece in the Herald, I thought, over the weekend by Karen Garigian in her notebook. Her Sunday notes talking to Ty Warren, and he's working, you know, as many players seem to be, those big piece today that Ian Rappaport in the Herald wrote about with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis getting involved in boxing.
I told I told MMA Andy that sounded stuff. More like a Borges story than a Rappaport story, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, I am very skeptical. It was strangely written.
It
too.
Was strangely written.
Was he there?
He told the Herald.
Was he there or not?
That's why I don't think he was there, because his quote referencing Green Ellis says Green Ellis told the Herald.
Well, see, that's the way that's the buzzword for these writers now, to let everybody know that it wasn't a press conference. I was the only one that was there.
But usually he says told me, or, you know, uses some kind of language like that, yeah, which made me think it was a Borges story.
Well, I'm sure that's how they found out about it, was through Borges and his boxing connections. But I was wondering if he was actually in Miami, because that's the way he wrote the story. Like, he's describing the gym in detail and all this stuff, but the Dateline didn't have a Miami date.
Yeah, again, that's the other thing that made me think it was somebody who was on site who fed him the material. But anyway.
The Ty Warren one I thought was interesting. He's doing some MMA work. Like, a lot of players now are getting involved in these different ways to work out and train in the offseason. Brady has done the boxing thing for the last several years now.
Push-up contests aren't enough anymore.
Oh, we already discussed that.
Andy's here.
But interesting that
I don't know how he shows his face.
The comment about the contract that Ty Warren had.
I'm the one who did the doubling, Freddie. Not the one who got doubled up.
Oh, boy, here we go.
You know, Ty Longer Warren arms, is a veteran push-ups. With a little bit of a high, $3-plus million base salary. People are speculating whether or not this is it for him. He considered that a team-friendly deal originally when he signed it, and was asked, you know, like Nick Cashier, they asked you to take a pay cut, and he said, well, I've already been playing at a pay cut, which – I'm not so sure that one went over too well
in
the offices. So
also,
that's
not
something
so sure
to keep in
true.
Mind. No, I'm not so sure it's true either.
That would be. I mean, I like the. I'm. You know, we're in the media. We always like a little back and forth. But I mean, you're not a Pro Bowler. You've never been an impact player.
You're coming off a year where you missed because
he's been
of injury.
A serviceable.
You've been
tackle.
Oft injured.
Yeah.
You've pretty much either been the second or third best defensive lineman on your line in your career with Vince Wilfork and Richard Seymour.
I mean,
love Ty Warren, but
no, but in fairness,
he's making pretty good money.
I love the guy, but $32.5 million, $17+ guaranteed is a very good contract for a starting 3-4 defensive end who's never played in the Pro Bowl, despite what that story said.
A mucker. Yeah.
And in fairness, I can remember some games or stretches where we said, wow, Ty Warren's the best lineman out there right now.
Yes.
But those haven't been
stretches.
Though. Long enough.
But there's also times where you say,
where's Ty Warren?
Well, not just that, but I think other guys. You see a guy like Mike Wright, and you say, wow, Mike Wright had a good game today.
Yeah.
But if he's making $36 million, it doesn't look like quite
not,
as good a game.
Not such a good game.
Right.
Right. So, all right. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
Yeah, and Ty Warren never went to the Pro Bowl.
We didn't.
Andy and I talked about that yesterday. And he
wasn't an all-pro either.
No. He made the All-Joe team in 08.
Oh, I know there was one confusion. Year we all thought he should have gone to the Pro Bowl and thought he got snubbed, but it is what it is.
He did have, in 06, he had 117 tackles and 7.5 sacks.
I think that was the year.
That's a really, that's a really good year for a 3-4 defensive end. That's a really, really good season. Yes. 15 games, 117 tackles, 7.5 sacks. That's an excellent season.
Andy's
for a 3-4
here with
round.
His pro football draft guide. Do you go to sleep with that now?
No. But I do. We didn't get a chance to talk about this because it came out last Friday. Our good pal Nolan Naraki, who's taking part in
our good pal.
Well, he's part of the paper this week. We're going to print today.
Yeah.
The draft debate. We added Nolan Naraki to the mix of Rob Rang from NFL Draft Scout and Mel Kiper from
ESPN.
Mel Kiper Inc. and ESPN.
Right. We really are without shame, however.
What?
Our good friend. Yeah. Our good pal.
Oh, I know.
But I find it very interesting, and I'll start with the most interesting thing. That's the 28th pick, which he doesn't necessarily believe will be the Patriots, but I find this interesting whether it's the Patriots or not. With the 28th pick, he has Andy Dalton, quarterback, TCU. I'm sure you may not have ever actually heard that name before, Fred.
I actually have.
No, this isn't really making fun of Fred. He's, in my mind, a second-tier quarterback at best.
He may be a third-tier.
Right.
I think he's a
third-tier necessarily quarterback. You should know this name if you follow the first two
it's
rounds.
It's funny you say that because I was listening to the NFL Network yesterday at lunch, sitting in my car, and they mentioned Andy Dalton as a guy that a lot of teams might look at fourth, fifth round.
How about the 28th pick,
right.
Mr. Naraki?
For a little perspective, we had a conversation about this, the three of us, a couple of months ago. I mean, a long time ago, more than a month ago, when I asked you guys, do you think teams actually draft quarterbacks with the intention – the ceiling is good backup quarterback.
Right.
And he's one of the guys I had in mind, along with Greg McElroy
yep.
and some others. Because I don't think they have the skill to be starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Maybe
plus
you
he's
know,
a redhead.
Certainly not elite starting quarterbacks. Now,
the
listen,
last redhead you saw dominate at the quarterback position. Actually, at any position in any sport.
Well, what's Ryan Fitzgerald? He's not a redhead?
He's Ryan dominate, Fitzgerald.
He, first of all, talking about? Yeah, he's it's Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick.
But,
Fitzpatrick.
And he's not a redhead.
But he's blonde. It's like dirty blonde.
You sure?
And he's never dominated at any level. Despite the fact that everybody says Buffalo's their quarterback, what were they, 3-13?
No, I'm not saying he dominated.
I beg to differ. He dominated the Ivy League.
Was Jeff Garcia a redhead? Because he's been bald for a while.
Yeah. he was kind of a redhead. Yeah, he was a redhead. But certainly
I can't
was
remember.
Both in a different manner.
He does both. He dabbles.
Oh boy. I said bald, and now he starts laughing.
That's amazing to me that he could come up with one for that.
I know,
he's
or maybe
bald.
Terrell Owens knows from the shower whether or not he's a redhead.
Oh. That's uncalled for.
But he may be a redhead, but it's one of those things. I don't think long-haired, goofy quarterbacks like Tom Brady can have a lot of success and redheads.
Now Brady's goofy.
I guarantee you he will not have as good a year this year as his hair gets longer. Last year, he was growing it and easing into it, still had a good year. 2011, he will not be as good if he keeps the hair long.
You are certifiably insane. Yeah. You are.
Watch. You know, I got a pretty good chance because he, you know, won the MVP and had great numbers last year. So,
yeah, he'll probably throw more than four picks.
Did you talk about the Brady six?
Yes.
The balling six?
Yes.
That's ridiculous, Fred.
You thought?
I am a crier. Some of you were at my wedding. I cried. I've been known to cry
at funerals.
I think
you just stopped.
Even an emotional ESPN.
Listen to me. I cry at funerals. Who doesn't?
It's a big concession.
ESPN, when they do their...
You're soft.
When they do their Make-A-Wish Foundation
right.
in the kids,
right.
I'll tear up.
Okay.
But
unless the kid is making a draft pick.
You teared up because you got drafted a couple rounds later than you thought?
Well, I mean, we weren't there, but maybe he... The memory of that day, maybe he was distraught.
Yeah,
he,
see, now
I
that
know,
I get.
How can
that
he
I get.
Still be in tears
you know
a
what?
Decade later?
12 years later, to me, that was a bit much.
I will give him. I will give him this benefit of the doubt. I saw the clip.
Onions.
I saw the clip today on SportsCenter, and what he followed up with after he got choked up was his parents' element.
It was
element.
His parents' support.
The parents' support was what got to him. So something happened with his parents that day where maybe they. Did something
talked
to encourage him?
Off the ledge.
Did something. See, yeah. And he's emotional over that.
He did say he had a bat with him.
Well, which I thought
like he was
going
to do something.
And they never went back to. They never really alluded to that again. I was wondering.
Or maybe they will
going,
in the documentary.
Was he going like mailbox?
Right.
Like,
I
baseball?
Thought he was going to say he went to the batting cage and just hit balls.
Yeah.
But it sounded like he was going to go bash a car in.
Right. Or somebody.
Or somebody.
Yeah. You know. I kind of agree with Andy Don
right now, actually. Maybe Don Yee was the one who told him he was going to go second or third round. He was going to go beat Don Yee.
Yeah, that day, I can absolutely.
Oh, there he's crying right now. Right now.
I can absolutely see that day being a bad day in his memory or whatever. And I could see him recalling the story, but it's 11 years later. I can't imagine that he got so emotional recounting how he felt that day that what was the thing they said? There was like a pause of 11 seconds,
11 seconds.
Before he tried to
but
finally.
But how bad was the day?
Compose himself.
Well, for
that's
him,
what I'm saying.
You were drafted in the net. 250 people get drafted. You were one of them. It wasn't as high
as
you wanted.
Here's a guy.
How bad is that?
Here's a guy.
Falls in line with all the other challenges.
But that's
he's
my point about in retrospect, it wasn't that bad. At the time,
right.
I could see him
right.
being
but
as
here's
upset
a guy.
As he
right. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in retrospect,
if he
it's
had
really
cried
not that
on
bad.
The walk, I'm all for it. All
right.
But 11 years later, you're crying?
But
what?
Here's a guy who...
And I'm a crier.
The day he stepped on the grounds of Michigan thought he was the best quarterback there. And probably that opinion of himself never stopped, obviously. And it, you know, probably really did get to him that day. And like Eric said, I think it was more looking back on the support his parents gave him than anything else, than the... You know, what's making him cry
it
now?
It might have been. I just thought
and
it
again,
was
they're only
lot.
Showing us a clip. We'll see the whole thing tonight, and we can put it in its proper context.
And
maybe
I
that's
say,
all
maybe
it was.
We'll find out his dog died, too, on the same day.
Well,
you know,
I will say
knows?
That it
or
was...
he killed the dog with a bat.
Oh, what a tragedy. What a story. Scandal. But it was pretty powerful to watch.
I and I say that. I don't the think, women are going to love it.
I don't think it was fake.
Oh, I'm not so sure.
Do you think it was fake?
Oh no! I don't think it was fake.
I don't think
no. I think it's real.
I don't think it was fake.
Real.
I think it was pretty powerful.
I just think it's a little strange, and I'm not sure the women will love it.
No.
No, I'm not sure about.
I could tell you he's getting a lot of. I don't know about women as opposed to men, but a lot of people are sort of poking fun.
Well, they poke fun at everything.
I think women will. I think women will poke fun at it.
Yeah.
I don't think they appreciate.
Well, a lot of women like the sensitive guys. Others don't. They want their guys to be.
All I know, but hearing... he's crying because he got drafted late. I think most women are going to mock that because most women don't care about that
Again,
kind of stuff.
Again, I think in this case, he's not crying because he got drafted late. He's crying just remembering the emotion of the day and his parents' support and all that stuff.
Hopefully there's more context to this when we see the documentary.
Yeah.
He's got
to
be mad, though.
Yeah, I can't believe
they're using that one pimp the show.
I can't believe they'd give it all away in the preview.
Of course.
They've
got to
be
holding
something back.
We won't buy the cow.
Yeah, right.
Right.
So it'll be interesting. If I
it's
remember,
it's funny
I'll
because
watch
this
it.
Clip is making me like less
it,
likely
Fred.
To watch it because I was so put off by that.
Right.
Like, I would normally – I'm very interested in this. I'm actually interested in the story. Like, the whole – I guess premise behind it is the six other guys that
right.
are taken ahead of
and they all they're all interviewed in the documentary
except for Giovanni Carmazzi who
yeah I have the feeling Brady is actually a kind
a
of a small part of the Brady Six yeah.
right and this is kind of you know like you guys said that they're using this as the hook to get everybody to watch and I'm like I'm not really interested in
right.
this you know we're gonna cry all day or talk football
you know what I thought was amazing
like Mark Malone
how alike his father and him sound if you close your eyes. You could think they were the same person. There's a little difference of, you know, the years mm-hmm. and age, but their voices mm-hmm. are eerily similar.
Yeah. So that'll be on. We kind of talked about all the news that we thought of the status of the labor negotiations, Danny Woodhead getting knocked out. You got anything else that you want to put on the table before
Scott
we get
O'Brien,
to emails?
We're going to be talking to
Scooter.
Today. Nick Caserio on Thursday talked about Ty Warren a little bit.
Talked about Ben Jarvis boxing. We talked
Benny,
about
did you read the Ben
Ty
Jarvis
Warren.
Boxing
no.
story?
No.
No. Did you see
no.
it at all?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I saw of it, but I didn't see it.
Did you read it?
I read it.
Fab Five Freddy?
No.
Yeah, but we already talked about that. I've
about it. Interesting note from Tony Pallini. Is that it?
Pallini?
Pallini.
Pallini. Scott Pioli?
What?
No.
Oh, nice.
What do you got there?
Grand
Apple?
The center out of Slippery Rock, Patriots meeting with for the second time. I just thought might be noteworthy for people.
Hmm.
What's the middle round guy?
Is it fuck?
What? Way out.
Let me look it up before I say something. I said fuh.
Crying out loud.
That's pronounced Phuket.
Phuket.
another, while I look this up, a thought that popped into my head while watching the Red Sox, are Jared Saltalamacchia and Dante Scarnecchia from the same place?
Italy?
Why? What do you mean? Is that Italian? I don't know names. I don't know Landon Cohen's Jewish. I don't know Italian.
Why is he getting both,
Italian,
both,
you're saying?
They're both C-C-H-I-A, the same spelling.
I would say they're both Italian.
Oh, I didn't know that was an Italian name. Sorry.
No, so, well, generally...
I don't just make assumptions. I'm not judgmental. I don't prejudge people.
But here's the difference. Is Italians don't get offended by anything, so it's okay
right.
to say when a name ends in a vowel,
and
generally
Catholics
that
fall.
Means... That you're Italian. That's
but it
all.
Was a little more. No, I just thought because the double C in Scarnecchia has mm-hmm. always kind of caught my eye. It's all I just find it a little weird.
Like,
and Saltalamacchia
like
has the same double C.
I'll show you my yearbook. And
right.
I'll give you 11 of them.
Right.
It's Fusco, or Fusco.
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 Yeah.
Out of Slippery Rock, Brandon, 6'4", 306.
You sure it's Fusco?
Yeah.
Well, I knew a Fusco. I worked for a
Fusco. Because I knew two Fuscos.
Oh. Yeah, that's
hockey.
Fusco. That's inaccurate, Paul. That's an accurate pronunciation.
They played hockey at Harvard. They won the
well,
Hobie
sure.
Baker Award.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Mark and Scott
but
Fusco.
44 starts for the what Rocks or whatever they are.
That's Rocks.
We had tape of him, which I was a little surprised about, coming from Slippery Rock. He can pull, which we always look for. Why was that funny?
Slippery Rock and
this
he's
is
pulling.
This is the guy who just said, Eric
know,
just claimed
just,
that the guy
was
bald
and
he
starts
laughed.
Laughing.
And you
I
can't
I thought
say
you said both.
All right. Is that it?
You misinterpreted? But that was a note I saw on Twitter that I thought was interesting.
Okay.
And the other thing we've talked about in the office is the more we do these mock drafts, whether they're our own writer's mock draft, where Paul went to all the writers throughout the country, our own mock draft that we did for the paper, comparing other mock drafts, there are many scenarios that don't work out well for the Patriots and Patriots fans looking to get a pass rusher.
Yeah.
There's a lot of scenarios where we ended up taking Cameron Jordan or a defensive end, five technique type guy, and then Danny Watkins or an O-lineman or a running back.
If they stay put, you're saying.
Yes, that's, yeah. you know, staying put, which that's not good.
Well, speaking of visits, a lot of teams have made the decision to publish on their website the visits, the Jets being one of them.
Are we?
Nope.
Did you need
surprise,
to ask?
Surprise,
just checking.
But, you know, to me it seems fairly harmless anyway to do that, and it gives the fans a little Paul's
whoops,
tripping over
what's
wires.
Going on here?
Just, you all right there, Paul? Napkins flying.
Oh,
jeez. God. I don't even know headset. Where he's going. It's like, we haven't even started.
Oh,
usually
God.
He waits till he, you know. Drinks.
Yeah, he doesn't have that prostate
usually,
break.
Usually
until,
he drinks a couple liters of soda before he has to go. In. Now he's going early today.
No, he's talking with no socks. Oh. A fan of the show.
Yeah.
A friend of the show. And Dip Mouth.
I thought you were going to say there was a camera in there somewhere.
That's Dip Mouth. Mouth. Did you mention that our competition is on the air?
No.
Are we not talking about them?
Well, I haven't yet. ESPN Boston is doing a show now from
it's
12
no competition,
to 2.
No. It's the competition between a hammer and a nail.
So they're over
we're
there.
The just so you know, we're the hammer.
We have a second studio here now, and they're actually
hey, Pac-Man, you're a nail.
Doing their show as we do ours. So, you know. Ball's back. That was quick.
Screw them!
Did you clean? Did you wash your hands? All right.
I didn't go to the bathroom. I went to talk to No Socks.
Just in the middle of the show, you just get up?
He called me in. I thought he had something to tell me.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's see. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Sean from Salt Lake's on it. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're doing good.
What's up, Sean?
I got three things for you guys. One, I hear a lot of people putting down the running back. And because he only had 1,000, he's not a 2,000-yard rusher. I would take him over some guy putting up 1,400 yards because he has like he doesn't turn the ball over.
Well, does the guy who has 1,400 yards turn the ball over a lot?
Most of them do.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Second thing, I think I know what trade New England's going to do in the first round.
Bring it.
The 28th. To San Diego for both of their second rounds.
Ugh.
I'm not saying I totally agree with it, but the numbers add up.
And unfortunately, in our draft debate in the issue of Patriots Football Weekly, that'll be on newsstands tomorrow, Nolan Naraki, who Bill Belichick said his draft work is pure football, quote-unquote, said
what else would it be?
The meat
baseball?
The meat of this draft, basically, the value is in the second and third rounds, and that worries me that they could be going with that philosophy again and getting more second-round picks who are good but not great.
But
the meat is in the second and third round, but the champagne is at the top.
Right. Well, the meat may be a flank steak. I'm looking for filet. There might only be a couple filets, but they're up near the top. Flank steak's
not
good,
okay, the last thing I got for you, it's not really a game, but I'm going to throw off some names to you.
Okay.
All right.
Vrabel, Brown, Givens, Branch, Light, Brady, Bruschi, Harrison, Welker,
solid football.
Samuel, I mean,
none
the
of them
list
first
just
round
goes
picks.
On and on.
Right. Yeah.
None of them have ever been, were never first rounders.
Right.
So, I mean, with that being said, what sleepers do you see
should I do the other list?
In the draft?
What sleepers?
Yeah, like when Bruschi was drafted, nobody thought he would be what he was.
Right. Not even the people that drafted him.
Yeah.
And he may not have been who he was on another team.
Right.
That's right.
Or not surrounded by the same coaching staff and talent.
With the talent and the coaching staff we have, is there anybody that catches your eye that wouldn't be immediate, but two or three years down the road, you can be like, wow, we got him in the fourth round?
Fourth round. That's a tough round to target.
Or third or even second.
Well, I'll tell you a couple positions. I think both running back and wide receiver have talented guys in those second, third, fourth rounds, and there will be stars at those positions coming out. There's no doubt in my mind. There are a lot of running backs and receivers that I think are clumped together. I'm not an expert scout for this system and all that, but you know, Randall Cobb may be a star if he goes to the right situation.
The running back we like is the K-State kid, Danny Thomas.
Daniel Thomas, I think, could be the best running back in the draft, and he could go in the late second round or wherever.
I would, just as a clarification, I would separate second and third round from those other rounds that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because, like, Matt Light was not, like, a stunning hit in the second round.
Right.
You're expecting to get good football players in the second round.
Yeah, and he was, like, the 34th pick.
Yeah, almost a first-round pick.
Now, you want to go down and talk about, you know, the Dan Copens, Asante Samuels, David Givens? Absolutely. Those guys are gems, late-round gems. And those are guys that are really hard to find.
One last question for you guys, and I don't know much about them, but I was I watched a video clip on this running back out of Hawaii, and I know he's only in the WAC, but from what I was seeing, he like led the nation. It was something like 9 yards average per carry. You guys know anything about him?
Sorry, we're having lunch right now. You caught us all. You caught us all mid-sentence.
Yes, and he's been posed as a potential Patriot.
And he comes from, you know, a lot of his carries were draws, spread formation play, so it looks like he gained a lot of yardage, but it wasn't in your traditional format.
It's he might not run in a traditional format.
He might not run in a traditional format here either.
I think that's why people are kind of tying him to the Patriots, because that's the kind of style that they use here.
Yes. But he has, I don't know if he's visited, I forget the, but there's been some ties to the Patriots for him, and I think Paul's right. Part of that reasoning may be the way they are a spread type offense where you're going to get opportunities in some of the same areas that he got at Hawaii and succeeded.
And I guess the last thing I want to tell you guys is you guys rock.
Yeah.
And your competition, which I can't even remember, Mutt and Maloney or something, they're idiots.
Well, thank you. I agree. But they're not really our competition because they're on real radio.
Right.
Our real competition right now is Adam Pac-Man Jones on ESPN Boston. He's the one I got in the crosshairs. I can literally see him from my seat.
All right, right. Sean. Sean from Salt Lake. His phone sounds like he's in Salt Lake when he's calling.
Yes.
But thanks for the call, Sean.
Is Salt Lake an actual lake, or isn't it a salt?
No, there's a salt lake.
No, there's a, oh, you mean is it actually a salt
there's
lake?
There's not water. It's salt.
No, I thought
that's where you raced the cars across.
No, that's the flats.
That's the salt flats.
Yeah. There's a salt
there
lake.
There is actually
is so,
a salt lake.
Literally
right.
So salty. I've seen pictures of people floating on their back with like a tray with sandwiches, eating
right.
lunch, floating in the water. It's so salty it makes you float.
It's like the Dead Sea.
Right. Right. Which, have you been in?
I've never been there, no.
You didn't go in the Dead Sea?
No, because I've never been to the Holy Land.
Oh.
So I was thinking, it was like, he was making this assumption you'd been there.
I just thought...
You said, you know, stuck your nose up at it.
I'd like to go at some point.
I just thought
you'd
traverse that area.
The closest I came was Egg Pipe.
What?
Egg Pipe?
Egg Pipe.
Oh.
You don't remember Pipe?
Oh, my God. Isn't that pretty close?
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of with Fred. I made the assumption that you would...
Yeah. I haven't gone
to, but, based on that trip.
Oh, but no. That was all Egypt on that trip.
Different countries.
Yes.
Yeah, which isn't exactly the same as just, you know.
No, but they're very close
over to Rhode Island
neighbors.
From Massachusetts.
They're next door neighbors.
Right, but, I mean, there's passports and
you're
going through different countries.
I just thought Eric was so worldly that would
that's another
be a problem.
Trip. That's another trip for another time.
All right.
8.2 was the yards
the
per
Euphrates
carry,
on
by
the
way.
8.2?
Was
say?
For Alex
that's
Green.
That's another country,
the
too.
Euphrates?
The Euphrates.
We're going to talk football. We're going to BS all day.
Oh, here we go.
I was
planning on BSing.
6'2", 225. We did have a little bit of tape on him. I did like his burst. Because good hands. I think he's going to be a committee guy, which, again, is probably why he's being associated with the Patriots, that he might be a third running back or even a fourth running back somewhere who can be productive and contribute.
Does this kid, Michael LeSure, have a chance to be a first, second down back?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think he has a chance to be out of the league in 2 years.
Really?
I'm not in love with him. Very productive. More productive than Mendenhall. Big. Seems to have it all. I just don't love him.
What? Why?
And I don't like him as much as Thomas.
What about him is turning you off?
I don't know.
I like him a lot.
I don't know. And he may be a star. He's in that group. I think Daniel Thomas, Mikel LeSure, Ryan Williams. In my mind, one of those three will be the best every down franchise running back in this draft. It will not be Mark Ingram.
Right.
And I think just don't make me.
I think there's a good
three.
Chance one of those guys is a Patriot too.
So what are you going like? One's a bust, one's a boom, and one's just a jag.
Yeah.
Do you think out of those three guys?
Yeah. Now you got to pick the right one.
F, marry, kill?
Yes, basically. You got to pick the right one.
All right. We got a lot of emails. I'm going to get to them right after this break, and we'll be right back.
They'll talk about just about anything on PFW in progress, and Andy's getting sick of it.
Okay. That does it. Now use it. Why is it that everything today has involved things either going in or coming out of my ass?
Patriots.com Radio. Whether it's football,
he's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Brad!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
During the dog days of a long off-season, the men of PFW decided to find out why Eric is always so resentful about school.
There are a lot of kids that don't make the most of their opportunity. Any school is what you put into it. You did well at school.
I did well, but I didn't do my best. I could have done better. I should have done better.
Through the power of group therapy, the men of PFW tried to make Eric feel comfortable discussing his troubled childhood.
I wasn't a trust fund baby. I shouldn't have screwed up.
What were you doing?
Fulfill my potential.
What were you doing? What do you think your potential is, by the way?
More than this, Fred.
So what was Eric doing when he wasn't studying?
I was definitely too involved in sports.
You were a kicker. You
know, too involved in limiting myself in that one area.
What position did you play again, Eric?
You were a kicker.
Sigmund Freud would be proud. Now back to PFW in Progress.
All right, back here, web radio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the ACE ticket hotline.
Quick follow-up before you get into your emails.
Yeah.
Mikel LeSure, I was consulting my notes. The two things that I didn't like jumped off tape for me is I don't think he has elite football speed, first of all. And the bigger issue, I think he stops in the backfield too much on his cuts.
Well, we've seen a number of years of that. We don't need more of that.
Those things worry me. I just don't think he's elite.
According to you, we only saw one summer of that. Then they cut him when he started doing it. Right? They traded him.
He's chewing his, what are they, curd?
Cud.
Cud. He always does that when he doesn't really know what to say and is a little upset with you. What? Is it cud? Is
that
what
it is? Cud. Cows chew their cud.
How do you chew their cud?
C-U-D.
C-U-D. Yeah.
What is it?
It's regurgitated food.
Yeah, it's actually... cows actually have
I think Paul just had a little cud come up.
Did you see the video, Freddie? You're big into internet videos. There was a cow laying down in a field drinking milk from its own udder. It was on the news the other night.
That's every man's dream.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
Not mine.
And I actually saw it on. You ever watch that show?
It'd be from his hip.
And you ever watch that show?
From his hip.
You ever watch that show Tosh.0 on Comedy Central?
Yes, a time or two.
Daniel Tosh was like. He's like, you all know you were thinking the same thing that I was. Like, we all wish we could do that.
But I don't.
Yeah, I don't either, really.
Because you might be tempted to actually do it.
Yeah.
And that's disgusting.
No.
He had no desire to do that.
Paul's beside
himself. Who's ever given it that amount of thought?
Who else over here?
No, when someone says...
That's how Andy hurt his back in fifth grade.
The guy would never leave the house. That's disgusting. That's not supposed to... Ugh. All right, let's move on.
Another thing with LeSure and Thomas, I think, very similar kind of upright styles that you kind of worry about. Now,
we
talked about this. There's been plenty of good running backs in the NFL, Eric Dickerson probably leading the way, who've had that style. And, you know, Eddie George was an upright runner. It's not necessarily a deal breaker, but this is something to be concerned
with. It's rare,
because I think you take a lot of hits that way.
It's probably part of Thomas's fumbling problem. You'd like him. You should need to watch a little tape on him.
Okay.
He's a big thighed back for you. A
lot of emails, some mop-up duty after Thursday's show. Todd says, Fred won the push-up contest. Andy's a fraud. The contest took 39 seconds. Andy did 60 push-ups. That's almost two push-ups in 1.3 seconds. Impossible to
do. That's how he was doing.
Unless he was cheating. Fred did 31. That's one push-up in 1.25 seconds, a much more realistic time to actually do a full nose-to-ground push-up.
I'm not sure what is realistic, by the way. I want somebody to Google strippers. There was a test. One of those standardized tests that men, you know, how many push-ups you can do. And I thought it was either in a minute or 90 seconds. And it's like BMI. There's a chart. If you do this, you're in this kind of shape. You do this, this is where you rank or whatever. And I thought it was well more than a push-up a minute.
A second.
I mean, a second. I think that's – and my other defense is I wasn't counting. Eric was.
No, the counting was accurate.
He was my John Walsh or whatever.
The counting was accurate.
Don't pass.
No dispute.
I'm saying that you're complicit in this whole thing.
Not complicit.
I don't even like him. He doesn't like me. Why would he help me win?
A St. Mark's man should have more integrity than that.
You're just embarrassed that you got. I wiped the floor with your sorry ass.
I think you should be ashamed of yourself. Is what I think.
Yourself
for killing you. I should have.
I've now beaten you in basketball. I've beaten you in tennis and feats of strength.
You missed that one earlier. Wait,
how did he win?
He's beaten you in all sports.
Because I didn't
now
cheat.
Feats of strength.
When you cheat, you're disqualified. End of story.
I told him this sets up a perfect.
I was Stephen Paya, and you were some jag.
Andy, I told him this sets up the perfect rematch where you do the pyramid style push-ups.
I agree.
Yeah, I think that needs to happen.
I have nothing left to prove.
Even though you have Tyrannosaurus Rex arms and have an advantage.
You have shorter arms than I do.
I'm not so sure. And especially the way you're barrel chested, shouldered, and bellied.
Fat, he means.
You said it, not me.
Dan from England. Says I've been following what you guys do for a few years now, but this is my first time writing in. Welcome. I felt that after your attempts at English accents on Thursday's show, someone needed to stand up for us UK fans. My question is this. I can't see Bill using all six of his picks in the first three rounds. So which pick or picks do you think he is most likely to trade? If the strength of this draft is in the middle, do you think that our picks at 28 and 33 are worth keeping when they will likely be such hot commodities? Thanks for making a boring offseason interesting, and please give a mention to the Royal Holloway Bears and the British University's American Football League.
Go Bears!
There you go.
Tally-ho.
If you believe Peter King, he wrote in Monday Morning Quarterback that it's a virtual certainty, fait accompli, as they say, that the Patriots will have an extra first-round pick in 2012 when they leave this draft.
Well, that
because
means that
of their deals.
Then something 28, has to happen
I think,
in the first
is a,
or second
is a prime
round.
Candidate right.
28
to
or 33
moved, right?
Will involve getting a first-rounder next year.
So what good does that do anybody? Because when 2012 comes around, they're going to take one of those picks and trade it for something in 2013.
Right.
One of these years, they have to use these damn
But
things.
Maybe one of these years, this may be the year, maybe not, he goes, this is why I have it. Yeah. I trade up, I package it, and now I have player X. Or, you know, maybe he gets Andrew Luck. And says, I got my next Brady. And, you know, it gives him the flexibility. He always has that ability.
What a draft day story that would be. They've traded up to select Andrew Luck.
Wow. Brady would go,
I remember my parents' support.
Brett in Boston, we also talked about
that's
the chronic
why they hate
on Thursday.
Us.
He says, since none of you have ever tried smoking the funny stuff, I was wondering if you'd like to try
Fred
some.
Has.
Let me know when it's on me. I will gladly venture down to Foxborough someday to hang out.
No thanks.
Since I still want to see the Hall of Fame. Well, food will take. Drugs, I think that's stretching it a little bit. I think we might, you know.
We draw the line at
illicit drugs.
It's all an elaborate sting.
I'll take that right now. Let's see.
What, do you got a headache?
No, I'm only kidding. Carter Smith writes in, and Carter says, I've been listening to the show for around 4 years and have never written in.
Wow.
But after last Thursday's show, I had to send you guys my congratulations. Epic. Because of the time difference between the East Coast and Seoul, I can't listen to the show live, but have
Korea?
Been but have been downloading the podcast and listening at work. Aside from the occasional outburst of laughter in the otherwise quiet office, it's been fine. Last Thursday's show, however, was different. I finally had to give up and put my head down on my desk until the show was over. My coworkers have gotten used to the outbursts of random laughter, so I'm hoping they didn't think too much of me laughing hysterically with my head on my desk for about the last 20 minutes of the podcast. Quick story to show the challenges of being a Pats fan internationally. During the 2007 season, I was teaching English, and most of the other teachers were from the U.S. or Canada. I watched the Super Bowl online, and as it turned out, I had to leave for work almost as soon as the game was over. My wife wasn't quite sure what to do when she walked into the room and saw the Giants celebrating on the computer screen and me lying on the floor unresponsive and staring straight ahead into space. Somehow, I managed to get myself to work on time. During that whole season, I had been nice as it had been nice as the Pats beat each of my coworkers' teams one by one. How much good do you think that did me when I got to work? It was similar to what I would imagine being in the middle of a pack of hyenas. After that loss, I shut football out of my life for a few months. No Pats news, no listening to the podcast, nothing. It was painful. After a couple months, when the pain was a little less intense, I looked back in the archives of the PFW in Progress podcast and almost by inspiration downloaded the one that had aired immediately after the Super Bowl. Almost immediately, I realized the mistake I'd made in staying away so long. At Fred's first words, "Man, it's like a funeral around here," I felt the burden begin to lift. All right, take care, gentlemen, and keep up the good work.
Fred the Healer.
Carter from Seoul, Korea.
That was a tough one.
Yeah. He's not the first listener, though, who's been saved from the brink by this show.
That's right.
After that infamous game.
It's really by Fred.
Yeah, it's really Fred.
The depths
I don't think they
despair.
Care for Paul and I mocking it.
No.
Let's see.
But you know, as bad as you know all the individual stories you hear from fans, just try having to go after that game and talk to all these players that you've been talking to every day for the past, you know, 8 months, and then get on a plane and fly home and like Fred called it a funeral atmosphere. It was.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
exactly what it was.
And it's what the Giants predicted when they got there.
Was Andy, was Andy crying during the whole thing?
I mean, that after that game and in the after party, you know, win or lose, the teams, you know, organize
the
parties
booze.
And they get the, you know, the entertainment.
Paul was rocking to your group, you know, right?
Earth,
that's
Wind,
already
that's
I
right.
mean, they had, who did they have at our party?
Earth, Wind, and Fire,
maybe?
Wind and
Fire. I feel like somebody just said
Alicia
it.
Alicia Keys.
I didn't see a song of I had no interest in seeing any of that.
Paul did. He was rocking out to Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I was very
he's a groupie
discreetly.
For them.
I was very discreetly rocking out to
What do you mean discreetly? You got up on the stage and sang with them.
Did you see that?
With your shirt off.
Yeah. You saw,
led by Earth, Wind, Moreland.
I kept the shirt on.
Hairy nips exposed.
I kept the shirt on. But I remember Ty Warren, Stephen Neal came in. Stephen Neal got hurt in that game. Mm. And I remember like talking to them, and they were just like, they had these like glazed look in their eye. Like I just wanted to give him a hug and say, be all right.
Brian in Seattle says, I'm in the grocery store with my two kids yesterday, and this lady was up next at the cashier. She started to load her things and then realized she forgot something and ran back into the store. The clerk said to me, come on up, and moved aside her things. This lady comes back and went ballistic on the cashier, who happened to be built like Vincent Brown. How dare you move my stuff out of the way? I don't appreciate how I'm being treated. On and on and on. Finally, I said, hey, lady, the world doesn't stop for you because you forgot your bag of oranges. Now shut the hell up. You're upsetting my kids.
Good for you.
It was quiet for what felt like an eternity, and the first thing that popped into my head was, holy crap, I'm yelling at ladies like, Paul, I'm pathetic. As I was pulling out of the parking lot, Andy, the extremely large cashier came out.
I think you're supposed to read that as I was pulling
out.
Right.
Of the parking lot, Andy.
You ruined it.
This extremely large cashier came out of the store and gave me a thumbs up. Thought you'd appreciate that, Paulie. And by the way, I listened to the new ESPN podcast. Ugh. I made it through 10 minutes. Solo shows just don't work, even with guests. They have too long of one voice, and it becomes annoying and uninteresting very quickly. See low, Brian.
Wow.
Brian has guests. He's
wow.
We have guests the next couple weeks lined up, thanks to Andy.
Who do you have for the Brian Lowe show on Wednesday?
But yeah, Brian, can we get back to Brian's email? No?
Sure.
Good stuff right there. That's good, solid rage.
Paul
love
likes
it.
To have other. You know
love
that,
it.
You know that thing that goes around the country with, like, strong men and they fill out football stadiums? Paul does the opposite. He tries to get men to fight women and drink a lot. He's
what
like
are
the anti.
About?
The,
man,
happy that the head coach of Colorado does it.
Oh.
I forgot
Gary
what they're
Barnett.
Called.
That guy.
No. It's kind of like parenting Dan, with dignity, but it's being a man with dignity.
Dan Hawkins?
No, the one before him. Barnett? No,
Bill
not
McCartney.
Barnett.
Bill McCartney.
That's right. Leads it. And they sell out like football stadiums and teach them how to be good men.
Yeah. Yeah, he's born again, isn't he? Isn't he?
Paul doesn't believe in that.
Paul just laughs when he says that.
Yeah, it's
that.
A religious thing.
Listen, at least he did last week.
What?
When you mocked it on the show?
Yeah.
One of them born again. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
I apologized immediately.
You did pretty quickly.
So why? I don't know why you have to make a big deal out of it. I apologize for that. That was inappropriate.
Okay. Fred, by the way, we got multiple tweets from people with websites. I'm going through them now about push-ups and the test. So I'll get back to you on how I'm kicking your anus.
Okay. All right. Brandon.
No surprise you're thinking about Fred's anus.
Right. Thank you.
Paul.
What's that?
Do you want me to talk about what you're thinking about, Fred?
No.
Proceed then.
Oh, God. Did I miss something?
No. Yes, you did.
Fred.
Yes,
you Paul's
did.
Thinking about Fred's anus.
No, stop. No. Just read the email.
It's a conversation Paul does not want to have.
And we shan't be happy.
Okay, so let's move on then.
Uh-oh, what's this about?
You've heard it. Told you already. All right.
We've just never been allowed to say it on the air.
And we shan't be.
Want to bet? I'm easing into it. Sooner or later, it's coming out.
Brandon New Hampshire says, I'm sending this a day early, hoping you guys can get a kick out of something funny that happened to me the other day. This is beginning to be like story time here.
Yeah.
As being a young listener, 17 years old, I can't find the time to listen to your show at noon. So after school, I'd go home, listen to your funny antics, like doing push-ups, while on the air and hearing Fred say, how the hell is he going that fast? Well, one day I forgot to listen to your podcast. So during the after-school driver's ed class, I thought I would tune in. So I went to the back seat so no one would see my headphones. I laughed during class, and no one seemed to care or even notice. My driver's ed teacher then wanted us to move to a different part of the room. So I hopped up quickly, and while doing so, my headphones caught the corner of my desk and was pulled out of my iPod. Since the radio was from an app, the audio still played, and everyone in the class heard Andy saying, quitting, about four or five times. Half of the class laughed, and the other sat there wondering what quitting was. My teacher walked over and said, what is quitting? So I explained the whole bit while my face was bright red, and my teacher didn't even smile. Well, that's my little story. Keep up the great job, PFW crew.
Well, then play this part. Your teacher's a douche. It was funny.
I'm sorry. Winning. Starting to get the concept.
He has a new one that made me laugh. Sheenius. He calls himself the Sheenius.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think he's yesterday's news.
He's tonight in Boston.
Yeah.
He's
you gonna
last
go?
Month's no. news.
I think he is getting
but tickets were too expensive.
It seems like it's been hot or cold. Some cities seem to like the show and others
the
hate it.
The cities that like it, it's more the audience could give a crap and they're just like getting involved and yelling and screaming and...
No, Detroit, he almost
sort
got killed.
Sort of like if we did a live show with our listeners.
But that's not...
Probably wouldn't go well.
Most people almost get killed
probably
in Detroit.
Not. Yeah, Detroit. That's why they've lost 25% of their population in the last year.
Detroit? What?
10 years.
Harry in Maryland says, great show on Thursday. Lots of real football talk, inappropriate speech, and good discussion. The show was among the best ever when Fred decided to take it over the top. Well done. It looks like the juice machine is paying off.
What? Did anybody listen to that? What it sounded like at the end of the show last week when...
Any
it was
of us?
Like a mockery. I mean, Fred and I were on the floor. I don't know how close they were
no,
to microphones.
It sound, you can. The funny part of it, you can just hear Fred in the distance, like screaming,
off
"He's
mic.
Cheating!
Yeah, off
he's cheating!" And he's
we
like,
to,
screaming.
"We need to go back upstairs and listen to that."
Well, after. No, I pulled it. I'm going to do something with it. The thing is, we could do
a bit,
a couple. Well, yeah, but a couple things with it because there's like 5 minutes of real good audio. Because it started with.
There was even more upstairs.
Well, the build up was very exciting.
Yeah, because it started.
Because we had to convince you guys to do it.
Yeah, and Eric, of all people, goaded you guys into doing it. He started calling you out and calling you a wussy and all that stuff.
When we got in the hallway.
I didn't call anybody a wussy.
He accused me of humping a pumpkin in more colorful language.
Wow. But no, the audio, especially from Fred screaming from the ground, is pretty hilarious.
That was actually just because he was having a heart attack at that point.
No, I was fine.
Fred's head is turning purple.
James in Brisbane writes in, "Hey guys, brilliant ending to last Thursday's show. I demand a rematch through video. Call it a special Patriots Today segment. Watch these guys work out since we can't show the players. If you got Lindsay to host, I'm sure Fred would be working extra hard to show off.
He'd be doing something that's extra hard.
See, I knew he was going to say that. I knew it. I just knew.
So did the listener.
While we're on the topic of workouts. Quick gym story from last year.
This is
another
one.
Story
another
hour.
One.
I was running on the treadmill.
I think this is a new segment.
I was running on the treadmill, and this girl shows up with a clear boob job, tight clothes, and a face full of makeup. She then proceeded to walk at a snail's pace on the treadmill in front of me for about 30 minutes, never going fast enough to work up a sweat. She answered a phone call while still walking and was talking about how hard she was working out. Not that I was complaining about the view, even though I probably look creepy being all red, sweaty, and panting. Kind of like how Eric gets around a girl. Anyway, I have a theory on that.
How would we know?
So that's the story? That's it? Well, there's no punchline there.
Did he go home with her?
I don't know. He goes on to now talking about
the
It's
like
trap.
An Eric story with a girl.
Anyway,
there was
he
a hot
says,
girl. There was Eric. That's the end of the story.
I have a theory on that fake PFW guy, Nolan Rocky. He's an attention whore. First, he goes after Andy's Quinn and calls him a second rounder when guys like Lombardi have him first overall. Then, when that doesn't work out the way he had hoped, he goes right for the top and attacks Cam Newton. For me, it's like the little kid in class who only has a good day if the teacher notices him no matter what his behavior's like. Finally, a quick question about the draft. During the even more special than the special offseason edition draft shows, will you guys be taking questions on things like Twitter? And if so, would it be better to message the show or one of you guys personally? I believe this year we're going to be able to take phone calls. So I'm pretty sure.
Until we can't. And then Fred goes, what the is going on down
there?
I
believe it. You can do that. Or
I believe we've got all we can do to be on the air.
Yeah, we can do that, Freddie. Or I can open up the PFW in Progress Facebook page and I can relay questions
can do,
there.
You know,
Jumbo Hart, PFW Eric, and
we can do
PFW
various
Paul.
Ways. But I do believe we're going to be able to take phone calls.
I don't believe you.
Well, yeah, I'll believe it when I hear it.
Doc, because we're getting a new what they call Comrex stack.
Comrex?
Which, that's where we're going
to
have
let's
all
do
different
it that, Let's do it that way, then, and keep the email, because if it goes Facebook and Twitter and email, that's kind of all
it's
the
very
same.
Very confusing.
And it's
I
hard to
I
keep track of
yeah.
them all.
Yeah. I don't have someone helping me.
Yeah, Fred will be in complete control of the phone now. Once that
what
system gets up.
Yeah, that's a scary proposition.
There'll be people being blown up left and right.
Sure.
Getting to the emailer's point on Quinny.
Yeah.
I just wanted to read from Nolan Rocky's latest mock where Quinn goes 6 to the Browns. He writes the sentence, Quinn, comma, who has the pin your ears back and go speed to register double-digit sacks, is brimming with upside. So he has that, but you had him as a second-round pick.
You just won't let this go.
No, I won't.
This is Andy's good friend, by the way.
Pal.
And I believe in our draft debate, not to give away too much from the draft debate, but, you know, it's good, so go buy it, even though I'm telling you what he said. I believe he said that, oh, no, that was Von Miller. Go ahead.
What the hell are you talking about?
I was getting my Naraki quotes confused.
Diarrhea
He's pure
of the
football,
brain.
Though.
Arky from Boston.
Arky Vaughn?
He's from the purchasing department. He
Who
says,
the heck is Arky Vaughn?
If we truly had depth at nose tackle, moving Wilfork around would be deadly against opposing offenses. We do need a pass rusher desperately, but one of our problems last year, to me, was our current player's lack of technique, such as Jermaine Cunningham. He'll be great once he develops better techniques. He gets caught up into fighting with the linemen instead of making moves on them and attacking the quarterback. I like Quinn.
Oh, Derek Burgess.
That would be a good pick. But I also like Jeremy Beal. He has the speed and physical ability to do the things Belichick likes to do.
Paul just hit his microphone with his Bobby Hamilton pass rush move, which is not a successful move.
No.
Cunningham popped into my head because Ian Rappaport apparently moonlights for Sporting News. There was something in clips today from Sporting News.
Yeah.
And he said...
That he saw. He didn't see the Ben Jarvis screen.
Wait, what? Cunningham, who was great as a second-round pick last year.
Wow.
Was he great? Did I miss the 16 games where he was great?
No.
I remember one play where he had an impact. Right. Yeah. Peyton Manning.
Right. Yep.
I don't think of much else.
Yeah. No,
He may have been capable.
And Reggie Wayne says he didn't have an impact on that play.
And he may even have been better than Banta Kane and Ninkovich.
As Parcells used
but
to say,
none of them were great.
Chasing cars.
Yeah, there was no greatness there.
I wish
we
was
wouldn't
a dog
be spending
chasing
an entire offseason talking about the position if he were in any way near great.
Yeah, he was just learning.
Yeah,
Jack.
I'm not ready to give up on
just
him by any means. It was 1 year, but he did nothing at the great level last year. Nothing
right.
at the great level. He didn't stop the run. He didn't rush the passer. He didn't do anything great last year.
A side note, financials. Did you happen to see the tweet this morning that the NHL is doing a new TV deal, and they're expected to triple their TV contract to $200 million?
Yeah.
NFL teams get cut a check each of like $63 million or something.
They don't really have a contract right now, so triple of nothing is pretty good.
But do the math, just to really break it down.
Yeah.
There's 30 teams, right? So they each get $2 million, that's it? You pay like one guy that if you're lucky. I mean, that's amazing. That you always thought NHL is a second-tier league. It's not in the big boys.
Right.
But when you break it down that far and say they get $2 million, they get less than a 30th of what an NFL team gets. It just it boggles
your
mind.
That's what they say. It's the NFL and everything else. It's not even a close second.
Well, there's not even a close fourth is what you're learning. Because to me, that's down in like MLS land when you're talking about $2 million. That's peanuts.
Toussaint writes in.
Eric,
quick question.
Toussaint.
Toussaint Lin.
Yeah. Oh, God. This just makes you want to throw up.
That or punch somebody, maybe him.
quick question about the draft. I've seen since Daquan Bowers' pro day, his stock is dropping a lot, and people have him mid to late first round now. Do you think the Patriots will take a chance on him at 17? He's a beast when healthy. It's interesting. Just before the show, I was watching Mike Mayock did a comparison between Bowers and Quinn. And Quinn just looks so much, you know, these are just workouts.
Quinny.
And shorts and t-shirt, but Quinny looks.
Well, he's a significantly better athlete.
And he's a different type of player.
Yeah.
They're both listed
very
as defensive ends,
very
but
different.
Quinn is going to be an outside linebacker, most likely. Bowers is
a
traditional defensive end.
Yes.
And Bowers had some questions about his knee.
Yeah.
I guess those reports have come back positive for him.
Well, there's still some questions.
Really?
Well, he ran and he didn't run well, so was he not healthy?
Or is he just slow?
Is he just slow?
And this is what he's going to be post-knee injury.
And there's also the questions of why was he a one-year wonder? Why was he finishing plays that he couldn't previously finish? There are a lot of questions about him just looking here in Iraqi. 23 to the Eagles. And this is a guy that literally this pre-draft season was thought of as the potential
number one
overall
pick. Yeah.
Now this guy, take it for what it's worth, Iraqi, but has him going 23
I've also
to the
seen
Eagles.
Him
That's
a lot
football.
At 12 with Minnesota. But
he's one of those guys who don't be surprised if he drops like a rock, though.
Yeah,
it's
an interesting case with those defensive linemen. You had Darius, you had Fairley, and you had Bowers. And those three guys, depending on who you talk to, a lot of people, as Andy said, had them being possibilities for number one overall. Well, it looks like Darius has sort of separated himself from the other two, and he will be a top five pick.
Less questions.
The other two have a wide range of spots where they could land, and people are talking about Fairley as one of these guys that could really slip.
Yeah, if he doesn't go to the Titans and his former defensive line coach.
Tracy Rocker is now with the Tennessee Titans. He was his college position coach. People are saying if he doesn't go there at 8, that he could really fall.
And if
and
they
Bowers
both go.
Is, you know, the latest, as the emailer pointed out, with his pro day, who knows how far he can slip.
Part of it is the depth of the D-line class, too, is I mean, they're trying to set a record. I believe the record is 11 in the first round.
And depending
they're
on how you classify all those guys, it could be a million.
So it's it pretty much a lock that it's going to set a record for most defensive linemen drafted in the first round ever.
What do you think of the situation with Bowers that a lot of people said that when Gaines Adams died, that sort of inspired him?
Could be.
Yeah, we heard that a lot at the Combine. And his dad, too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
His father died. And
or maybe he's a paycheck guy. Maybe he got inspired by the fact that
NFL
was on the horizon.
I suppose there's two ways of looking at it. You could look at it your skeptical way. I tend to look at it, you know, in the positive.
The humanistic way?
Optimistic kind of.
He's a crier, though.
I mean, I'm an optimistic
sort. He's a crier, Andy said.
I am a crier, me and Brady.
Brent from Illinois says, what a show Thursday. I hope Andy is wearing jeans again. What does that mean?
Because that's
he doesn't have jeans.
Oh, he's
jeans
wearing a skirt.
On,
and I'm not nearly
day?
As
no.
As
no
he gets all excited when he wears jeans.
Did you hear what he just said?
How does he get doubled up and still claims
again,
that you I was the girl?
You cheating? You get disqualified. Says Fred.
I didn't cheat.
That's
kicked his ass.
Telling you what Fred says.
His anus.
From Fred's horrible accent to the business with the thumb to Fred giving out his office phone number, I could not stop laughing. Great work.
Did they take that out of the
podcast? In a wonderful special edition of PFW in Progress. Now, Andy, you should be a politician, not Eric. That sidestepping, backtracking, talking in circles you did when Fred correctly called you out on your cover-your-ass statement on
clearly you're an idiot
from a week ago was brilliant. Fred, of course, was
that's
right.
Not political speak.
But I have only heard so Barney much Frank sidestepping and whatnot when Clinton tried to define sex. Also, I think Fred should also be commended for giving it his all against a juicy younger man in the push-up contest. I'm still wondering, juicy, yes.
Juicing.
Yes.
He meant juicy.
Juicing.
Well, he meant juicy, but he meant...
Yeah.
The ladies like me. I'm
still wondering what type of bonding has happened between you and Eric, as you two seem to be on the same page, and he is a big defender of yours these days.
He's just a man that sees it how it is.
How is that?
The truth. I kicked his ass. All he had to do was count. I was going lower than you have to, by the way. The rule of thumb on these tests is a fist.
What?
You put a fist under the chest.
Oh, you couldn't get an infant's. No, that didn't come out.
Right. Yes, Fred.
Yeah, no, that didn't come out.
That's just poor to me.
No, but
I kicked your ass. It is what it is.
Oh, God. All right.
There's no shame in it.
All I
everybody
know is that
was very
well
impressed. Me too. Everybody was very impressed with your 30 whatever push-ups.
I have no doubt that you slept well that night. You were probably exhausted.
It was very impressive for a man of your age.
Oh, shut up.
And weight.
Don't be condescending to me, you fat.
Oh, almost, Andy. Almost.
Should I keep going? Keep poking?
No, because he might tell you to leave.
JC writes in, this is interesting. His subject line is John 3:16. John 5:16 and John 7:16, and then he says, "When you get to my age, you'll be in the John every 2 hours too." But I like it. I like.
Or Paul does it.
What?
You make your little runs for the John.
I didn't go to the bathroom earlier. No socks.
He
told
could
me to
run
come
out
in
of here faster if he's knocking over wires. Napkins are flying.
I mean, he put down a burger. You know it was something urgent.
He was calling me in there. I thought Scott O'Brien was ready to talk.
Think that, you know, Robert Kraft walked in the way he jumped too.
I didn't jump. I got my foot caught in the wire.
It's a man who controls cameras.
He comes in here and starts making noise.
Any man who controls
my
cameras
God.
Controls Paul.
Oh, and by the way, did you know you can't make any noise in Kevin's area?
Yeah, I do.
Why is that?
Because they can hear you through the glass.
Well, why can we not
why
hear
is their
anybody?
Glass different than our glass?
We can hear him when he laughs. Sometimes.
Well, when he laughs hysterically. But
he has to be talking
loud. I can hear them right now.
If I yell as loud as I can,
then it's not soundproof.
No, it's not.
No, that's what he's saying. It's not soundproof.
Why
I'm asking why.
I don't know. I didn't build
it. Soundproof.
Why
are
you not popular with the Chicago police?
Not into the producer's studio.
But poor Mike Reese is trying to do his podcast, so I can't yell.
Okay. Anyway, JC says
actually Adam Pac-Man Jones' show.
Yeah, but Reese is over there.
I'd like you guys to tell
he's
me why we couldn't trade our number 17 plus next year's second and third to Dallas for number 9. And then after the draft, Jerry Jones goes, well, look at that. I didn't get any offensive linemen. I think I'll call Robert Kraft and see if I can get both Logan Mankins and Nick Cager for, say, the second and third. They already traded us for next year. I know the NFL said you couldn't trade players for the draft picks, and a little while ago the commissioner said teams weren't even supposed to talk about it. But what if Kraft and Jones had an oral agreement to do just this over a year ago? I know the commissioner would be all over us because Woody Johnson would tell him to, but there must be a way around this. It's a good idea.
Yeah, but don't be naive to think people wouldn't have discussions.
Yeah, I do think you'd get in trouble.
Yeah, I think you would get in trouble.
Not if no one finds out.
But
I think it's pretty unrealistic to in this climate to do things like that. I mean, teams have already gotten in trouble for minor
for lesser.
No, but I'm
offenses.
Just saying, you know, Bill sees Ken Wisenhunt somewhere and says,
that,
are you really looking at a trade for Fitzgerald?
I think that in this climate, I think teams
pick next year?
You know, have a right to be, you know, on alert for that type of stuff because you do want an even playing field in this type of environment. You don't want teams, you know.
Yeah, I think
cheating.
It actually is even. I think they'll all be doing it.
Well,
I think they all do the tampering.
I agree with that.
That's why I think it's even. I think any team that would have any interest – they'll say now, you know, if this lockout hypothetically ends,
the wink and a nod.
What are you
going to
be looking for in terms of a 2012 draft pick?
what hypothetical players would you be?
Now, I don't think deals will be, like, put in place.
But just, you know, I know that the larger point to the email, by the way, was about having some sort of prearranged deal. But
right.
Logan Mankins is part of a package that's getting you a second and a third round pick.
Logan and Kazier for 2 and 3, is that
right.
what you said?
Yeah.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
That's all you're getting?
Right.
You know what I was thinking about? I think this free agent class is going to be very much helped by the fact that they come after the draft. I think everybody's saying it's going to be such a short window. But the way I look at it is, if you're Matt Light, you think you're a franchise left tackle. Say there's 4 teams looking for franchise left tackles in March. And you say the asking price starts at $9 million a year, $10 million a year, whatever. 4 years, $40 million. They go, I ain't paying it. I'll draft one.
Screw that. I'll get somebody in the
draft.
Then
they don't draft one. But if the draft comes and you get shut out, you don't get one.
Now you say.
Now Matt Light says, well, if you want a tackle, it's 4 years, $45
million. Right.
And you have to pay it because you need a left tackle that bad.
And there'd be a shorter window for
it to
get it done.
It may help the top guys at some of the positions.
It might, definitely could.
Yeah.
On a small case basis, you know, a few guys. I think it could help those guys, like Light.
And that's why some coaches.
And it could hurt some other guys.
That's why some coaches like the idea of having free agency after the draft.
Right. But I think it's better before because now you have two ways to fill a need. If it's after, it helps the players, to me, the bargaining power of the players because they know you don't have a fallback. You can't go, you know, there's not that many trades in the NFL. You can't draft one. You didn't get one. You got a fifth-round pick that you hope to develop. If I'm Matt Light, I say, good luck. Develop him. Mm-hmm. Develop him in front of Tom Brady. See what happens. I think that gives the players bargaining power, the top couple guys at every position, because there's only going to be 2 or 3 teams that need it, and there's one of him and might push his price tag up 10%.
Jordan in London, kudos for Thursday's show. In my humble opinion, the best in PFW history. But to get back to football, specifically, I was wondering what you guys think of Stefan Wisniewski from Penn State and your writer's mock draft. He went 21st overall to Kansas City. However, ESPN Boston had it rated as a fourth-round prospect.
I want to clarify, ESPN Boston did not have him rated as anything.
Okay.
Pro Football Weekly had him rated.
Okay.
And it said that right on ESPN Boston's rankings that they were taking their draft
from
rankings from Nolan Naraki, Pro Football Weekly, and what he has Stefan Wisniewski. This jumped off the page at me. In his top 150, he's really low. Talk amongst yourselves, I'll find it.
He also says keep up the good work.
134. Stefan Wisniewski. He did go, was it 21?
21 in a mock.
And he has him as the 134th best prospect. That is a fourth-round pick. I mean, that's huge.
And I can't see him being lower than the second round, by the way.
Another popular Cam Hayward he has at 107 is a popular end-of-first-round guy.
Yeah.
And
Wisniewski getting a little bit of name recognition because he's got lineage?
No more so than Pouncey, who's going to get overdrafted.
A lot of people think he's going to get overdrafted.
Or Hayward, for that matter.
Yeah.
Hayward has name recognition with his dad playing in the NFL.
Right. So I don't know.
I can't see Wisniewski going below second round. You know, they have him fourth round. That's
I think he'll
low.
Go second round.
I think he's one. Yeah. Now, what I think he gets hurt by is his position. I mean, just you don't have to pick those interior linemen that high.
Right. But why does everybody say that Pouncey's going to go in the top 15?
That's your thing.
I think he's better than Pouncey.
I think he stinks. I mean, doesn't stink, but
he's better than Pouncey.
Elite. I'll tell you who was great coming out. Now I can't think of his name. Who's the jet? Nick Mangold was a first round center. Pouncey cannot hold Nick Mangold's jock.
Yeah.
Nick Mangold was a, you could see
there are
he was
guys
going to
like
be a
that.
Dominant center in the National
there
Football
League. There are guys like that come out once or twice every, you know, decade? 5 years maybe? You know, Woody was a pretty much can't-miss center coming out of college. Now, he's moved all over the offensive line, but he missed
the quarterback with some of his snaps.
He was a first-round interior offensive lineman and absolutely worthy of that.
And Pouncey was.
Pouncey,
as an,
you know.
Marquise.
Yeah,
as an early entry center was
Hutchinson
unheard of.
From Michigan was a guard, a flat-out guard, clearly worthy of that mid-first-round pick that he was coming out of Michigan. Iupati, but there aren't a ton of those guys. There's a reason there's only one every year.
Right.
It's just not that highly.
Again, I'll go back to me, the Mangold, comparing Mangold to what Pouncey is right now, it's apples to oranges.
Trevor, a Canadian.
Or Buckeyes to Gators, whatever you prefer.
Trevor is a Canadian in China. He says, want to draft a bust? Continue the Quinn lust. If you want to win again, go get Ryan Kerrigan.
That's a terrible rhyme.
With the highest production in sacks, forced fumbles, tackles for loss, unmatched character praise,
I
even by Mr. Undersized Miller, and a very decent turnout at the combine, he sounds and looks like the guy I'd rather create a bandwagon for.
Who?
Kerrigan. Let's face it, guys.
There's no question he's going to be a guy that people are going to rather have a bandwagon for.
Let's face it, guys. Your choice of outside linebackers in the past has been subpar at best. Larry English,
miss.
Vernon Golston. Sorry to bust your balls. Well, most of you. Eric left his at the Brown graduation ceremony.
He would have loved to have left his testicles there.
Yeah. Golston is definitely a big miss,
right?
For
would
us.
You give your testicles to have graduated from Brown? You don't use them.
No.
Oh, jeez. He's unbelievable. He's just... Can't control himself.
Nah, he can't. I forgive
him.
If
only I had jeans on, this would be a much better show.
Instead of that skirt.
Good comeback, Andy.
Yeah, where did that come from?
I just don't understand. I mean, did the Patriots talk trash after they lost Super Bowl 20?
Maybe.
I mean, that's what Fred's doing. He got absolutely annihilated.
If Super Bowl 20 had taken place in the 2000s, they wouldn't
have.
Glenn,
he got doubled up in a one-minute push-up contest.
Glenn from Bozeman says, I just got around to finishing Thursday's show last night, and I have to say it was probably the best 10 minutes I've ever heard. I've only been listening for about 2 years, so I'm sure I've missed plenty. And Fred, I agree, only pussies do half-ass push-ups.
And all that.
You guys are great. Thanks for all you do.
You know what?
All that.
I'm going to tell Dane Fletcher to kick your ass next time he's in Bozeman.
Puss and all that.
Maybe I'll have Mike Person do it. I got to know him at the Combine in person.
In person?
You know, I wasn't in person. I talked to him.
You were in person.
He's a nice man. I'm rooting for him. He was one of Rob Rang's late-round guys to watch or something in our positional breakdowns. Mike Person, we're talking about, from Montana
State.
Yep.
Don't make that mistake.
Don't make that mistake.
Bozeman guy will be back on me like.
Yeah.
LT from Adelaide. I must say that this offseason has brought out the best of PFW. I am loving the show, and the hilarity factor is off the charts. Quick football question. Are teams allowed to have agreements on hand with regards to veteran players such that when a new CBA is signed, they can make those trades happen? The example I had in mind is, would the NFL investigate if Arizona traded their first pick to Philadelphia in return for the Eagles' seventh-round pick? Then, once the NFL has a new CBA,
Larry Fitzgerald.
The Eagles trade Kevin Cobb to the Cardinals for nothing at all. If this were possible, would you think that...
It's probably going to raise a...
That'll raise
that's
a
red
few flags.
Right there.
I think so.
Might want to be a little more subtle.
No, they're going to...
I know the point, though, and I think Andy's probably right. I think teams will do that. I think you're going to get in trouble for it.
I think so, too.
Right now, I think it's a little bit different than your average tampering kind of thing.
Well, now, would the players be hurt? Would the players care, or is it just the league that would care?
I think the other teams would care, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just talking out loud here.
Yeah.
Because there's that whole... The fear of collusion and the fear of, what is it, triple damages
and
all that.
Well, other teams and maybe the union would.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You have a bigger problem in my mind if the union, because if you get slapped on the wrist as the Eagles for a trade, you lose your seventh round pick in 2012 like the Lions did or whatever, that tampering.
Mm.
Who cares? I got the deal I wanted done. If a lawyer knocks on your door and it's the NFLPA suing you for some sort of collusive activity, if that's a word, then you're in much bigger
But what if under your scenario, the NFL has said, listen, we made this pretty clear that we weren't going to tolerate any of this, and you guys clearly did something in a time period that you weren't allowed. We're taking your first round pick.
I think that's more likely, Paul. I think they will be hard
but
on
you gotta
this.
Prove
it's not,
it.
It's not like tampering.
How are you gonna prove
under
it?
The normal circumstances?
Would you ever trade Kevin Cobb for nothing?
No,
you
not something
I mean?
That obvious.
Yeah.
What if they just worked out the agreement and didn't make it so obvious?
I still think that you'd be in some sort of hot water with somebody, whether
somebody's
it's the
gonna
league.
Prove it. Suspicion only gets you so far.
Well, how is it?
I think it'll be happening.
How is it proved in other situations?
Well, some of them are dumb, aren't they? Aren't there like phone records and stuff? I'm just talking about Bill Belichick and Ken Wisenhunter in the same area.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Anthony from Naples has been holding on patiently. Hey, Anthony. Anthony?
Apparently he hasn't been holding on patiently.
Not that patient.
Not that patient.
It's weird. It says he's still up there.
His patience, and then there's Fred Kirsch patience.
Quick,
Brady's crying again if you're in the Sports Center loop, 127 Eastern.
Quick game from LT.
27 past the hour.
Chin Yankaboo.
Here's a quick game. Would you trade the current players on the roster for the following picks?
No.
Brandon Merriweather for a fifth rounder?
Yes. Sure.
Yeah.
Get him out. Say no. Ty Warren for a third round pick. Ty Warren for a third round pick.
Yeah, I would.
Can
do
I
it.
Ask if yeah, Ty Warren is totally healthy?
Let's say he is.
I would not.
Okay.
I would do it, I think.
I think I would.
All right. Wes Welker for
like
a third
him,
round
I like him.
Pick.
I would not.
I would not. I'd we don't have enough depth at that position right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. That's a tough one. I'll say no.
Lee Bodden for a third round pick.
I would not.
No.
And finally, Tully Bantakane for a fourth round
yes.
pick.
Yes. Yes. Sure.
I didn't even get the pick out. You guys said yes.
Yeah.
Can we get video footage of the push-up duel? Andy finished so quickly, and Fred couldn't believe it. He almost sounded disappointed. Also, just wanted to give props to Kevin, who made getting lunch a breeze for you guys last Thursday. We'll definitely do it again for you guys soon.
I love you.
Though I feel like I'm slowly killing Fred and Paul with high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and expanding waistlines.
By the way, we didn't thank James for lunch today.
You haven't heard from him for a while.
Yeah, he's okay. Busy. He's got things to do.
Well, obviously he's paying for lunch.
James
so Pettigrew yeah.
is the kind of worried though. Usually we hear Patriots from him fan. Like probably, once a week. You know, saving wildlife somewhere.
Right, saving asses.
You know,
I'm available.
Bill and you want your ass?
No surprise, he's talking about ass.
I think I am an ass.
Bill in Maine says I have to laugh every time someone talks about negotiations. The players don't believe the figures the league is giving them. I'm still not clear on exactly what the league has provided. Is it literally that one page of projections the players released, or was that a joke? One big advantage with a judge being involved is a decision on whether the league is, in fact, providing legitimate data for the players to decide how much to give in. Shouldn't reports be emphasizing this? Well, the problem with what Cohen did is he wasn't allowed to talk about it. So he may have an opinion about the data that the league has given the players and whether or not it's worth the paper it's printed on or not. I don't know, but he's not allowed to say anything. So we don't know what his opinion is. Now, this new set of mediation, maybe we'll see something.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, he instituted the gag rule during their mediation.
Right.
But so, I mean, he could have talked
no
about it.
Yeah, but
that nobody followed.
But in
right,
agreeing
but
to have this guy mediate, I'm sure it was, you're not going to say, you know.
But then he put out a gag order, and like Andy said, nobody followed it.
Well, I know, but as long as he, you know, I don't want, if I'm Jerry Jones, I don't want this guy Cohen giving his opinion on who's,
well, plus
you know, playing
for his,
nice
plus
at the sandbox.
His future employment, his future
right.
respect as a mediator, mm-hmm. that he is truly right. unbiased. He's going to keep his mouth shut and just work.
But if that, well, but see, the league wanted the negotiations, the mediation to be under his supervision.
Right.
The players wanted it in Minnesota, so obviously the owners felt like he had some. There was some sort of advantage they had by going with him.
Well, I also think they want to get out. Everybody says they want to get out from under the federal courts of Minnesota.
So
where
my
Doty
question
is involved in that whole thing.
Couldn't Judge Nelson have ordered them back to mediation under a third party, not in D.C. or Minnesota?
I think so.
Maybe it's not in her jurisdiction, under her purview, whatever. But
yeah, I saw somebody
pose
St. Louis, the Eighth Circuit, or something.
So yeah, couldn't she have
St.
done
Louis.
That? Since the players wanted Minnesota, the owners wanted D.C.
She's on the
pick
player's
a neutral
side.
Site.
I well, just think it's another example.
You should have
of just how much of a mess it is. That like we were talking about last week when it came out on April 6th. You know, they can't even agree
on where to negotiate.
Where to negotiate.
Right.
You know, I mean, is it really that big of a deal if it's Washington or Minnesota?
Yeah.
And part of the problem
but evidently
in the coverage,
it was because they both got really upset about it.
Part of the problem in the coverage is, and we are guilty of this, I don't know what's important. I don't know what's fact, opinion, speculation. And you have a lot of NFL people, beat writers, covering this.
That's a great
who
point.
Are not qualified to cover an issue of this magnitude. You need labor law. You need business. You need that type of background, not can a guy get a first down on third and eight?
But I think you also need, more than anything, impartiality.
We have a lot of people writing about that that's not qualified either.
I agree.
Another good point.
You need
some people said that Cunningham was a great second round pick last year.
I think just got to get it specific.
Get a little bit of news here, Freddie.
What do you got?
In the Twittersphere here, James Walker of ESPN.com is reporting that the Patriots are hosting Jake Locker in a pre-draft visit Tuesday and Wednesday.
Okay.
Today's
tomorrow?
Little less Tim Tebow of 2011. Well, is this going to create a stir now?
Something. It's blowing up on Twitter.
Jake Locker.
Is it just to make other teams think there's a chance we could take him at 28?
Do you remember last year that everybody was convinced we were taking Tebow because we took him out to dinner? Right around this time.
North End, yeah.
Yeah, but doesn't it make sense?
Yeah, when he was out front throwing a football around.
Just by accident.
But let's just say that you're interested.
You think that would get over a Goodell? I think.
Yeah.
But let's just say that you're interested in some of Tim Tebow's teammates or other guys in the SEC that he played against.
And we know they were.
So you bring this guy out who knows the game and get some info from him about other guys. I mean, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So literally 21 seconds after Paul makes that comment, Mike Reese tweets, this reminds me of the Patriots' Tim Tebow pre-draft.
That's because they can hear us in the studio.
I'm coming out of this booth.
Did you listen to Mikey Vandalism's premium MP3?
I'll take a listen now.
Yeah, why don't you take a listen and we'll play
He's been around. I just don't think we've been playing his MP3s.
Oh, yeah, I think he tweets me. I forgot his name, but he tweets me.
Let's see.
Mikey Vandalism.
Mark
Isn't
from Norton.
I don't think that's his name on Twitter.
First time to the show. No. Great show. Do you think Bill will go offensive tackle or take Mark Ingram at 28?
Offensive tackle. Line.
Or offensive lineman.
Well, yeah. But in your little scenario, the lineman.
I think Watkins is going to have to be a candidate for that again. We ended up taking Danny Watkins in the writer's mock draft.
Yeah.
I think that might be... That might make sense.
What's going on with fans at baseball games? Did you see this thing, this incident with the Pirates
fan? I didn't
see
this, but I heard about it.
The police had to tase the guy because he was being unruly and he wouldn't leave, and they were attacking him with clubs over here.
I don't see him doing anything other than standing there and getting hit with sticks.
Well, yeah, there was an incident that led up to this.
Foxborough Stadium, 1984.
Holy crap.
That poor Giants fan. It was a Giants fan that got beat up, right?
Oh, yeah. There's more than one.
No, but the one who...
Fred makes light of it.
Well, back in the day.
I'm talking about the opening day
at the Dodgers.
Oh, the Dodgers in baseball. Yeah,
some Giants fan got beat.
Somebody went Perillo on
really
the guy.
Really pulp. Like brain damage.
Yeah.
You know, until he stopped breathing, as Paul would have done in New Orleans had he had the chance. Them's your people, Paul.
Yeah.
Ross from Glasgow says, just thought I'd help my any European page. I can't talk. Just thought I'd help any European Patriots fans and tell them that the Brady 6 documentary is being repeated on Saturday. I plan to watch it online, but rather than stay up until 1 a.m. tonight, I can watch it 9 p.m. London time on Saturday.
Can't you?
Saturday.
He'll still be crying on Saturday.
Well, can you DVR that tonight?
I am.
Can they get the DVR over there in the U.K.?
I think they have DVRs in the U.K.
So why can't he do that?
I don't think they're a primitive culture.
Well, why does he have to wait till Saturday then? Why can't he DVR it and watch it tomorrow?
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't have one, but they have them. Not everybody in the U.S. has a DVR.
No, but he's talking. He said, I want to help my fellow European viewers. Well, I assume that a lot more of them have DVRs than he's assuming.
There's a lot of assuming.
I know there's a lot of assuming because you're focused on the
how
anus
many
today.
People? No, but you can't. You can only DVR one show at a time.
No,
and at
no,
one
that's
o'clock,
that's
it's
incorrect.
Masterpiece Theater.
That's
and you can DVR.
You can
two
do
at a time.
DVR two at a time, Fred.
Oh, you can.
Yes, you can.
Really?
Yes.
If you have the dual tuner one.
Oh.
Yeah, you watch some of these old films of games. I'm watching the Super Bowl on
Super Bowl III
NFL Network, the Jets Super Bowl win. America's game. And you know how they all the retired players say it's like flag football and blah, blah, blah.
Right. It,
compared to what they used to do, it is. I'm watching Joe Namath just run around. He's like 8 feet out of bounds.
Right.
And some Raider comes over and buries him. No flag, nothing. It's unreal.
Yep. That would constitute a flag right there for helmet to helmet.
It's utter lawlessness.
Let's see. Giovanni's taken the initiative. We've talked about the listener mock draft, but he's done it. First, a disclaimer. He says, I apologize for any outrageously bad picks. I'm human, and I'm not Mel Kiper. And two, mock draft 1.0 only includes round one. Any mock drafts that I may or may not make after 1.0 will also be only one round long. So this is what he's got as the mock draft for PFW listeners. Should I go from top to bottom or bottom to top?
That's interesting. Go from bottom to top.
Okay.
And he's not paying attention. He's involved in the Twitter
sphere. People tweeting at him left and right, I've seen.
Well, no, I'm reading
so
your
go from bottom
thing.
To top?
Well, because they're, man.
Okay. 32,
what are we doing? I want to play.
Giovanni did his own listener mock draft.
I love Giovanni.
At the 32 spot, he's got Jan Yankatube. 31 is Dagmar. 30 is Craig from South Carolina. 29 is Justin in Alaska.
It's a weak first round.
28
that's
is
Robin in Alaska.
Greg in the billing department. No, there's
a Justin. He's got to be much higher than that.
27, Don in California. 26, Paul from London. 25, Chris with a T-I-A-N.
Wow. Oh, he's got to be higher.
24 is Mario. 23, Scott in Atlanta. 22, Phil in Nova Scotia. 21, Todd in Nova Scotia.
He's got to be lower than that.
20 is simply Larry. 19,
hello,
the
Larry.
Cable guy.
I think Larry from
the drunk,
Florida,
Miami.
Larry the drunk,
yeah. Larry in Miami.
19, Keith in Georgia. 18, Tracy in Vegas. 17, Yemi from Texas. 16, Sam in Chicago. 15, Mike in Pensacola. 14, John in California. 13, TG in NJ. 12, James in Wales. 11, Dane Heffron. 10, Jason in Chiba. 9, Mike in Rhode Island. 8 is Lucky. 7, Derek from the University of Arizona.
He's got to be lower than that.
6, Anthony in Naples. 5 is Cormac. 4 is Fred in Halifax. And 3, 2, and 1 is Strippers, Ken Walter, and in the number one spot, James Pettigrew. So it's a good first effort.
That is a good first effort. Yeah, the top five is pretty good. The top three is pretty good.
Yes, I'm very excited to see Brooklyn Matt didn't make the first round.
Oh, we got to give a shout out to, speaking of James and Wales.
Excellent stuff right
We got to give a shout out to James and Wales, who's getting married next week in the Big Apple.
Oh, that's really?
Yes.
Okay.
You going?
Yeah, I'm not.
Is she a New York girl?
I don't know.
Is she ashamed?
I think. That's awful.
You know,
that's Big Apple. I thought you meant Adam's apple.
That's not bad.
Don't laugh too hard in there. You'll screw up ESPN radio.
Is this not what they should come to expect from someone who stands behind the velvet rope?
That's just poor to me. Yeah.
Hides himself in the back corner.
So Mikey Vandalism has sent us one of his premium quality MP3. So let's take a
look. Lower the volume.
You never know what will happen when...
That's not it.
Really?
I was going to say, that was pretty good quality.
What have you been doing for the last 20 minutes?
They actually threw the flag on that one.
Well.
I was like, you see that late hit, but they actually
finally,
threw the flag.
Finally, Mikey Vandalism has come back to PFW.
To steal the rocks thing?
In premium quality. So, guys, it's been a while.
Keep this short,
back.
Mikey.
My question is this. It's the dead of the offseason, and Rex Ryan is already spilling his junk all over the media, speaking on how much he would love to have Randy Moss in a Jets uniform. How do you think you feel about this? How do you think the Patriots would feel about this? And do you think that this is an actual possibility to maneuver to get some interest for Randy Moss in free agency, whatever that is?
Does he script these
things? Thank you, guys. I'll speak to you soon.
What did you think about that, Rex Ryan expressing interest in Randy Moss? You think it's just for show?
No, I think it's legit.
Yeah?
I think he's trying to probably put a little pressure on Braylon Edwards and maybe even Santonio Holmes.
But I wouldn't be surprised.
But yeah, he clearly has no problem collecting veteran talent or guys with a few issues.
I hope the Jets sign him.
Yeah, I don't think
I do.
That would hurt the Patriots.
I mean,
would hurt the Patriots.
I don't hope that the Jets sign him, but I don't care. I mean, if they sign him, I won't be like, oh, my God, they got Randy
Moss. I hope they do, because I think it weakens them.
Yeah.
It prevents them from doing something else that they might do.
Then Sanchez will be locking
in on him all
the time.
I'd certainly be more afraid of them if they re-signed Edwards and Holmes than I would be if they signed Moss.
Even Ryan is careful to say he's a great vertical receiver. You know, that word vertical, he qualifies him as just
that. I'm not sure
he
isn't.
I want to qualify the great part.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. He was a great vertical receiver.
I read an interesting tidbit. In a story in ESPN, the magazine, about a Morgan State kicker, they have a black kicker, and they actually have a black punter who's going to be a prospect in a year or two. And the whole story is about the lack of black punters and kickers in the NFL. You know, Reggie Hodges, a former Patriot who's now with the Browns, is one of the few. But in a little tidbit talking about how, you know, a lot of black athletes play other positions, different things, Randy Moss and Randall Cunningham in Minnesota, apparently, Cunningham was an All-American punter in college, but Moss and he used to put on shows after practice punting for Cunningham, and Moss would apparently hit 45 and 50 yard field goals with ease. Another one of those things where he's clearly just a natural, gifted
tremendous athlete.
But I thought that I'd never heard that before. And Eric didn't buy it because of his skinny little toothpick legs. He didn't.
Well, you had the same thing.
Plus, it hurt you a little bit. That son of a bitch, he did
legs.
What I focused on.
You were a kicker.
Than me.
No, but Moss is known for his. But I'm 5'7. He's 6'5 with skinny legs. What are you doing?
I think when you lie, it beeps.
But Moss is known for his skinny legs, among other things.
Yes.
But So it's a little surprising that a guy with those thin set of legs can.
It's not about
that far.
The size of the leg and the kick. It's about the kick and
it's
the leg.
It's torque. Maybe. Brooklyn Matt says, Eric, nice pronunciation correction on the name Toussaint. Is it Toussaint?
Yes, well done, Fred.
Fred, everyone knows you don't pronounce the last consonant in French names. You know, like the R is
unless
silent in
e.
Lavois.
Unless there's an E at
what,
the end.
Do you pronounce the LT in Renault? No, of course not. And Andy said he wanted to punch Eric for knowing that. Andy, are we still acting like we're in grade school and wanting to bully the
You're the guy
kids?
Who wants to do drugs, run
acting.
From the police, and jump fences.
But I will agree with the consensus that last Thursday's final 20 minutes was in progress gold. You guys were on fire. The push-up contest on the freaking radio was surreal idiocy at its best. Keep on being yourselves.
Thank you. Still say we need a pyramid rematch.
I think he needs to earn that right for the rematch. You know how in boxing, after you lose, you got to have like a tune-up fight again. I think
you fight some tomato can.
Maybe it's a fatal three-way
he's
between
beat
you
me.
Two. Well, I actually thought Eric and Fred would be a good one.
I have
one.
Nothing.
You,
left
I have
to prove.
No faith in.
I just
nothing
wanted to line him up with a tomato can.
I would have had you in Fred's category, weight class, previously, but he did 30-something push-ups and kind of impressed me.
I'm pretty sure I couldn't have done him as well as Fred did. I could probably do 30 or whatever.
I'm not so sure you could.
Not like the way Fred did them. I'm telling you, Fred did. Picture perfect push-ups.
Everybody. Well, he has the perfect push-up.
A fact I already brought out on the show when you were late.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. Didn't they perform at the party?
Yes. Was absolutely anything.
Let's see. what do we got here? Let's
I don't
see.
Know. Emails?
Not much.
I don't know. I don't have the window open.
Josh and Waterloo.
You say not much. We're making you laugh every 10 seconds. They're getting annoyed in there because you're laughing so much.
And they know that you're not laughing at them.
They think, yeah.
Well, maybe they at them.
You don't know what this is all about? He counts the emails because he thinks that the AK-47 show had the best participation ever.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Not anymore. So we once
did. Even though he didn't speak on that show.
That's true.
Josh and Waterloo, hey guys, including Eric, just wanted to give the Fox a warning against changing your name on the show. A few years ago, there were about 7 different Joshes that were emailing in, so I decided to go with my high school nickname, Sawyer, to do exactly what you were trying to do, differentiate from other with the same name. That's when the chronic smoking mush brain Shannon blasted me for using a different name. We got into a little emailer-on-emailer crime until I realized that fighting with this idiot was much like fighting with a mentally challenged 6-year-old. I finally said enough was enough.
Sounds
and
like
call
you're still doing
truth. It. So change your name if you want. I could care less what you want to be called, but know that somewhere out there is a sad little man that has a rain and bong soaked mind that may find offense to it. P.S. My wife wanted me to add that to the statement that Eric is not gay because gay men don't dress that bad. He is just sexually confused.
That one left a mark.
He's speechless. He's like,
why don't you let your wife come over here and help me figure it out?
All right. There you go, Eric. All right. Now, what is this about, though?
I don't know what he's talking about.
Sawyer is having trouble. Somebody changed his name?
No, the guy changed his name to the Fox. I forgot his real name. And I think that's why he changed his name to the Fox, because we forgot his name every time. But, okay. And then Sawyer changed. Remember, you went through your phase where you changed it to Jake Steele for a while.
I don't know. Jake Steele.
I might go with Jake Steele full time.
I would. Go Ocho Cinco, have it changed legally.
You should go into the next meeting, and if Robert Kraft says, Fred, what do you think?
I wanted to refer to the meeting I came to get Fred for the other day.
T-Bone!
Oh, poop, yeah.
Oh, crap. We'll just tell him we were in another meeting.
I'll announce it in my next edit letter.
Your new name?
And I'll like sign it.
You'll sign it.
You'll need a new signature, yeah.
That way?
Jacob Steele.
Jacob.
Jacob. Not Jake. Jacob.
I was born Jake. So
body by Jake. Jake. You're already in the role.
Let's see.
Pow, pow.
Hey,
pow,
fellas.
Pow.
It's Oklahoma State
my
Joe.
Email address?
I usually don't listen live, but I'm going to try today. I haven't missed a podcast in 5 years.
Good
back
for you.
When Gary and what's his nasal name was on the show.
You
Good
know
Lord,
what?
His voice was annoying.
J.J. Wah.
Anyway, I'm wondering if you think what you think about DeMarco Murray and Kendall Hunter. Even though I go to OSU, I really want Murray.
Yes.
Every time he gets the ball in the red zone, I think, oh, crap, he'll find his way in. Also, what do you guys think of Kendall Hunter?
Yeah.
Like him, don't love him. I definitely like Murray a lot better.
Mm. Murray is a very versatile player. We talked about that. Perfect Patriot. Hunter's slot receiver. I think Hunter's not fast enough for his size.
Yeah, I don't think he's as dynamic as his skill. You would think
he's a bowling ball
him.
Size too, right? Isn't he tiny?
Like 5'7", yeah, 200.
I think you had mentioned the Maurice Jones-Drew thing with him, Eric.
Yeah.
But he's not as fast.
But not as good.
I don't know.
Jones-Drew has breakaway speed. Mm-hmm. Hunter doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my feeling. I think that he looks like he should be one of these really dynamic.
5'7", 199.
He looks like he should be one of those dynamic third down back types that you're like, oh, he's an exciting player, but he doesn't really play like that.
Well, I mean, he's
good. That's why I said I like him. I don't think he's a stiff. I like him.
4,200 yards, 37 touchdowns, but the speed thing is what bothers me.
I like him. I think he'll be a good player. I don't think he's great. And I think Murray has the chance to be a much better player.
Okay. I do too, just not an every down player.
Let's see. Quick game from whoever this person is. Would you rather have...
They should probably change their name so it's a little more memorable.
Would you rather have Kendall Hunter in the second round or DeMarco Murray in the third?
Was it the same guy?
Yeah.
Same guy. Oklahoma State Joe.
Yeah.
I'll take DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, DeMarco
I'll take
Murray.
DeMarco Murray regardless of...
I don't want Kendall Hunter at all.
Would you rather have Ocho Cinco for the veteran minimum for 3 years or Larry Fitzgerald for 1 year at the going rate?
I'll take Fitzgerald.
Fitzgerald.
That'd be more entertaining.
Would you rather have Ryan Kerrigan and Danny Watkins in the first round or trade both those picks to get Quinn?
Quinn.
I'll take the two.
Okay.
Both of those picks to get Quinn. I'll take Kerrigan and another player. I don't think there's that big of a difference between Quinn and Kerrigan.
Because we need raw 30-year-old rookie guards.
26.
See how my tune changes
not
my argument?
He's only
26.
So that's not 30.
But he's raw. Raw.
Would you
he's like a raw wrestler.
Physically mature.
Yeah, and technically raw.
How's that for putting a positive
would you rather
spin?
I can already hear Dante Scarnecchia saying, you bleeping moron. That's bleeping moron on the practice field when he screws something up and somebody gets killed.
Would you rather see Paul quit drinking Diet Pepsi or have Eric get laid? Definitely Eric
the
get
latter.
Laid.
Wow, talk about two things that are never going to happen.
Would you rather see Andy get every draft pick wrong or get beat by Fred in a push-up contest?
I'd rather see him get every draft pick wrong.
Me too.
He really needs to get
knocked out of
play.
We've already seen him get beat in a push-up contest.
How does that
well played.
I covered the Bodog spread of 22 push-ups.
Bo
that's how
Bodog.
Dominant I was.
Yeah.
That's what strippers told me.
I don't know how you sleep at night. That's all I can say.
On a soft bed.
That's all I can say. Let's see. Dan the BI man. What do you think BB will do in the first round? Trade up or trade down? My guess is both. Can you guys help to narrow down a feasible draft pool for Belichick, like five players of each position of needs? Read PFW in the next issue that's coming out
read
today.
Read PFW in the next issue. The next issue.
I really like Darius. He's such a force. He has a defensive back's mobility and speed. He's over 300 pounds, unless someone manipulated the videos.
A defensive back's mobility? Marcel Darius?
Marcel Darius?
Does not have a defensive back's
no.
mobility.
Darius Butler does. Sometimes.
I like Marcel Darius.
Except for the balls in the air.
Marcel Darius is a very good player, but he's also going to be a top three pick.
Yes.
But does not have a defensive back's mobility.
Not even close.
Okay.
If he did, he'd be playing defensive back.
Kerrigan is definitely a potential Patriot.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt is definitely a potential Patriot.
I don't think so. Because everybody says he is. And whenever they say a player is, he's not.
He's the high character guy, versatile athlete, high motor guy.
No chance.
He's a potential. I think he's going to be gone before the Patriots pick.
Right. But when you do that, you assume that they wouldn't have taken him regardless. Do you know what I'm saying? Eric's point is that all these people are tying a guy to the Patriots and they never take that. Well, you don't know if they are really interested in the guy.
Last year.
You never know.
Well,
I
see what you mean.
When they picked Devin McCourty last year, what if it wasn't Devin McCourty, it was someone else who was available that everybody was talking about?
Well, it was Sergio Kindle last year.
They wanted Sergio Kindle too, but they just liked McCourty a little bit better. You never know. You're not ever going to find out that, it was neck and neck there between those two guys. You know? So just because they have a guy tied to the Patriots and they don't take him doesn't mean they didn't actually have interest in that guy.
No, I see your point. I still don't think he's going
to
come
back. That's why I wish that we could get the one draft thing I would like to do you know, working for the organization, you know, the quote unquote inside stuff, is their thoughts on past drafts. And I understand their reasoning. They don't want to necessarily let you know what they think of all these other players now around the league or what they thought of those guys around the league. But that, to me, would be the most interesting part.
Sure.
If we could learn some of those things.
Sure.
Sam in Birmingham, England, if you could have one expatriate back on the team who was still in the league, who would you take? Seymour, Samuel, anyone else?
That's a good question.
Expatriate.
Those two are good names, too.
Huh.
I mean, Samuel, because...
The playmaking.
Yeah, he's just such a playmaker, and he's younger than Seymour.
Mm.
I would go Seymour over Samuel right now, only because I think McCourty's that good.
Right.
Yeah, but
and
you have both.
And you have Bodden.
But you know who it'd be fun to watch? If McCourty's as good as people think he is and is going to be.
And you have Samuel on the other side.
And the gambler, the playmaker Samuel on the other side.
Who do they
might
throw to?
Yeah.
Who does the quarterback
Listen,
throw
I,
to?
Yeah, that
I,
might be fun to watch.
I still love Samuel. I still think he's that guy. He's that playmaker. But I don't think it's as big a need because I think they have reasonable depth right now at cornerback.
I would
take it.
I think it's Seymour.
I think it would be Seymour.
And there's not a lot of choices, are there?
No.
Eugene Wilson?
Well, there are a lot of players out there, but there aren't a lot of
that I
choices.
Care about.
Kyle Eckel?
No.
Is he still in the league?
I don't know if he is or not with Philly anymore.
You know, Eric Catani is coming off the military.
Yeah.
I saw that somewhere.
I read that. He's eligible to come
Eligible
on.
Too.
People are excited about him in the mix with fullback.
Not really,
yeah.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my
Some
God.
People.
they don't realize that fullback is becoming a lost position in this league.
Yeah, and if we want one, we'll go get the
and let's
Anthony
just say,
Sherman tank.
And let's just say, for argument's sake,
or
they are
Marisic.
Going to put that position a little bit more in vogue. Is that a player to get really excited about?
Oh, no.
A fullback?
How about a local boy at Attleboro, former Gatorade Player of the Year, Sherman Tank?
Let's see. Ken Walter writes in, last week Fred suggested I send in testimonial letters from a satisfied customers of my birthday party business. Well, so far I've only had one customer, and she said the one who wanted me to show up dressed as Spider-Man. She was the one that wanted me to dress up as Spider-Man. Still, she sent a very nice letter, and since you asked, I figured I'd send it along. Please note, for marketing reasons, and since I'm not really in the business of dressing up as superheroes for parties, I've replaced all mentions of Spider-Man in the letter with Ken Walter. Dear Super Bowl Legends Party Productions, that's what he calls his company.
Super Bowl.
Thank you so much for being a last-minute replacement for my son's 8th birthday party. He's a huge Ken Walter fan. He has tons of Ken Walter comic books, and he has seen all 3 Ken Walter movies. And he loves to pretend he is Ken Walter swinging from rooftop to rooftop and fighting crime. He was so excited to see you arrive dressed in your red and blue Ken Walter costume. And while he was a little confused when you started handing out pictures of Adam Vinatieri, he was delighted to see that they had been signed by his favorite wall-crawling superhero and that there were even a few signed by the Hulk. Your speech to kids about how anyone can be a superhero, even a special teams player, was very inspiring. And while my son insists that punting is not a superpower and that the evil job-stealing Josh Miller is not a real supervillain, I thought you were very convincing. Once again, Ken Walter, save the day, just like he does in the cartoons. Thanks again. Oh, guys, one other thing. I was sorry to hear that Tyler in Georgia got scammed by a fake Ken Walter. These fake Ken Walters are really a problem. Can you imagine the nerve of someone pretending to be a beloved sports hero when they are really just an anonymous goofball with an email account? It's outrageous. Anyway, Tyler, if you order from me, you can be sure to get a genuine Adam Vinatieri picture with a guaranteed authentic spelling. Remember, there's no I in team, but there's 3 in Vinatieri.
Yes, it's Vinatieri.
And since I'm prohibited from contacting him myself, please say hi to my future best pal, Scott O'Brien.
That's right. Good stuff.
It is.
That's very good stuff.
Ken Walter just trying to make it in a world where, you know, you can only have one of him on each team. It's tough.
No respect for the
X-Men. What kind of world do we live in
it's
when
tough.
A man dressed as Ken Walter?
Brian from Rothesay, New Brunswick. Hey, guys, it's time for my bi-weekly Danny Watkins question. Who would you rather have, him or Mike Pouncey? Let's face
him.
It, Pouncey is overrated, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And also, I'd like to suggest a new debate Friday topic.
Good.
Since you did, who is the best draft expert a few weeks ago?
Andy. No. Who's the second best after PFW?
Who
Andy.
Should you should do? Who is the worst? A few names
Eric,
come
Andy.
To mind: Nolan Araki, Charles Davis, Ken Walter, and Herm Edwards.
Charles Davis.
Did
I don't know
really
if he's
throw
the
Ken
worst.
Walter in there.
Yeah. I don't know if Charles Davis is the worst.
He gets the least respect, though.
Yeah. He's like. Second fiddle to Mayock. all the time. At least now
he has to announce Mayock's top five.
Right.
Top
now
eight.
They've made McShay and Kuiper, they butt heads. Mm-hmm. They are equals. They fight. They argue.
Maybe they're working Charles Davis up to that. Who knows?
Maybe.
Because didn't they used to do that with McShay?
McShay
wasn't he sort of punching back
level.
For a while?
They didn't. They kind of separated him for a while, kept him, and then kind of eased him in.
Because there was like some nastiness. Wasn't there some nastiness
at
first?
Yeah, I don't think they care for each other.
So it's like you and me.
Yes. Except, forget it.
Let's see.
What?
Macab in the UK. Great show as always. I've been a follower of the NFL and the Patriots since 07 and listening to PFW in progress since 08. Today, I subscribed to the online version of the PFW newspaper and never realized how cheap it costs. Looking forward to a year of PFW subscription. One question, non-Patriots related. What do you guys know of Stan Kroenke, the Rams owner? He's about to buy my soccer team, Arsenal.
Yes.
And I was just wondering, what do you guys know about him as an owner or person? Well, one thing I did know, actually, he was the guy that might have been involved if the Patriots had moved to St. Louis. He might have been involved in that group. But one thing he did say, he said, unlike the Glazers when they bought Manchester United, they secured the loan based on future earnings and the assets of the team. He promises the Arsenal fans he's not going to do that. In
right.
other words, he's not going to.
He's also trying to buy out the Russian guy who has like 20, like a quarter of the stock of Arsenal.
Oh.
So he's trying to be completely in control of the thing.
That is a tough league, man.
He what I want to know is, where did he make his money? Because he owned the Avalanche, right? The Rams and
The Nuggets
and the Nuggets, right?
He owned, because I believe he owned the Pepsi Center in both teams that played, or something.
Right, and then
he might have owned. Yeah.
In order to get the Rams, he had to agree to give up his control of the other team.
His son or somebody runs them now.
So he still owns them. Yeah. I mean, he still runs it. But
it's like Bud Selig doesn't own them.
Where did he make his money?
He's the daughter.
I don't know. We'll have to look it up on Wikipedia.
Strippers.
He's apparently got plenty of it.
Get on that, please.
But we'll have to do that next show.
Come on.
It's 2:01, folks.
Another hour?
We have to leave. I have things to do, and you have to interview Scott O'Brien.
Okay.
Hey, and that'll be up on Patriots.com later. Remember, tomorrow... B-Lo has the draft room with Brian Lowe
and
at noon.
And a guest?
Wes Bunting.
From?
I don't know.
What? There's Bunting in the studio?
Isn't it from National Football Post?
Yeah, that sounds right.
All right.
You're a terrible producer.
Put me on the spot.
So tune in to
Fourth
Brian
of July?
Lowe.
Yeah, I got him.
You never know. He might challenge himself to a push-up contest.
What are you looking at me for?
We'll talk to you on Thursday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.